Harry Potter, the boy who lived.
I am Iron Man.
Nut up or shut up.
Oh my God, Z. O-M-G-Z.
I like that.
I know, I was thinking about that. I was like, damn, how does that translate? Whatever. Yeah, yeah. O-M-G-Z.
I'm gonna start having girls say that.
That's like your rapper name. O-M-G-Z.
Yeah, kind of like Jay-Z.
Yeah, Weezy, Kanye-Z, you know, all kinds of rapper name. Yeah.
Don't compare me to that douchebag.
OMGZ, there you go. Hey, that douchebag is rich.
Rich with ass.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm about to say, shit. I would trade places with Kanye West in a fucking heartbeat. I mean, shit. One of the richest, most popular rappers of all time. And that motherfucker's fucking Kim Kardashian. Man, shit. I would trade my life in his life in 2 seconds just to say George Bush is racist, date some bald-headed bitches, constantly making crazy-ass videos, posting nude photos of myself. Yeah, I think I could live with that, just to do what he does.
Wait a second, that'd be. I don't want to do podcasts with Kanye if you trade lives.
Yeah, see, let me tell you about how much of a genius I am real quick.
Could you imagine the darkness with him?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, let me tell you, see, let me tell you why this movie is stupid. I didn't make it, that's why.
I can see that.
Now bow down to your Lord and Savior, Yeezy.
Yeezys.
Whatever the fuck his name is, I don't follow that Negro these days. The only time I follow him is when I find out he's fucking his woman and shit. The only time I ever think about Kanye West is like, when is he gonna be fucking that girl? Because god damn, that woman's body is just woo.
I don't think I would leave the house.
No, why would you? Like, why would you?
You're rich. You don't need to go out anywhere. You can have your own record studio.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to buy a big ass place and shit like that. And I gotta say, man, when she opens up her fucking mouth, that's the most least interesting I've ever. But when you just look at her, it's like, god damn, woman, take credit. I was like, hey, people can give her shit all she want or whatever. You can't deny, she's one of the hottest women in the world.
And she's Armenian?
Something like that. I don't know what her fucking race is.
It's Kardashian race.
It's yeah, the Kardashian race or whatever. You know, who's worse, Kardashian or West?
I don't know. I think Kanye West
is worse.
Kim's famous for nothing.
Hey, that's not her fault though.
No, it's not. She's
yeah. So that's not her fault though. So whose fault is that?
Us.
Yeah. Thank you. And another. That's the same thing goes for bad movies. Transformers 4, $1 billion. Whose fault is that?
Idiots.
Thank you. Twilight, millions of dollars. Whose fault is that?
Teenage girls.
Uh-huh. See, look at that shit. Everything in entertainment happens because of who? Us. Us.
Hobbit, so what? Is
famous for nothing? Goddamn right. But guess what? Guess who made her famous? Us.
Her sex tape.
that sex tape. Oh, my God. I must have watched that 1,000 fucking times, whatever. And just like, show some titties! Oh, these are titties, goddammit.
I think you're more curious about Ray J.
I'd fucking sell both my testicles and get a night with that. And then I can have my dream come true by getting some steel testicles attached to me.
Your wife's not around, is she?
Oh, she's around. She can hear you. It's like, what the hell are you going to do? You're trying to censor me? You can't censor this. You can't censor me. I'm a phenomenal one. People, welcome to the best and the worst of 2014. Throwback Tuesday. I'm a phenomenal one.
I'm Z.
E-O-M-G-Z. That's right, and
I do like that.
He's gonna be rapping. I don't know how you would spell that, but okay. Actually, I think I could. Actually, I see multiple ways of spelling it right now. Let me get my dry erase marker out real quick. I'm gonna write it on the board. Just came up with a thought plan. Next time we do Black History Month, that's gonna be your name for the whole month.
Okay.
OMGZ.
It does sound like a slave name.
That's right. But you know the only difference between slave names is that's just too long. They'd be like, wait a minute, that's four letters? Shorten it to three. Shorten that shit to three, goddammit. Z, it's been a long 2014. I don't know, but the first half felt very fucking long. Later half felt very short.
I would say after summer, it just kind of breezed by.
Yeah, kind of did. I agree with that. It just breezed real quickly. Like, summer, not to say summer was dragging, but it did take a little time, which I don't mind if I was, like, you know, a high school student or something like that, because I'd be like, oh, summer break then. But, summer don't mean shit for us, because we still got to work and shit, so. Yeah. But spring, summer, man, that took a while. Fall is picking up, man. It's just been moving, man. Once the holidays kicked in, too, once Halloween kicked in, it was just like the inevitable Christmas right around the corner.
Do you think it's like how time flies based on, since, you know, we're doing a movie podcast, it's based on movies? Like, if there's like a good movie or like, we know Avengers comes out in May and that shit's dragging.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. Man.
So you think since there wasn't many blockbuster awesome movies this summer, do you think that one of the reasons why it dragged?
I thought it was a lot of blockbusters this summer. I mean, May was stacked with them. Rather, I like
May it, was, but, yes.
Yeah, May was, and June picked up, even though a lot of them failed. then July, and then August. August was just pretty much Guardians month and Expendables 3.
People saw that?
I love how people keep talking about the leak is what made Expendables 3 fail. It's like, nah, it's that people didn't give a fuck. You ever thought about that? it ain't what made Expendables 3 fail in the box office. It's the fact that nobody gave a fuck about Expendables 3. Turtles came out in July or August, right?
August. It came August, out like, yeah, my so birthday.
August was, yeah, it was. It was next week after it was 2 weeks later after Guardians or whatever. So a lot of blockbusters. I got about maybe 10. You had Spider-Man, Edge of Tomorrow, Guardians, How to Train Your Dragon, 22 Jump Street, Ninja Turtles, where am I at? Did I say Spider-Man? Godzilla?
Dawn.
Dawn, X-Men, some would even say sequels such as Think Like a Man 2, which...
I would even say Lucy.
Yeah, definitely, because that fucking dominated the box office. Hercules...
Which, does that dominate?
No, it just barely made its budget back. Like, I think it's, like, right on the cusp of made it. I don't think it did really anything. I don't think nobody was really paying attention to that because it got the stench of that earlier in Hercules.
That's the whole Armageddon Deep Impact shit.
Man, I was watching a lot of worst of lists this morning and shit like that on YouTube. Almost everybody I watched had Legend of Hercules on that list.
Well, yeah. It was like, this was like the second movie that came out this year, too.
Shit, second or first, right?
Nah, first was Paranormal.
Paranormal, was that the first? Are you sure that was in like middle of January?
No, that was the very first movie of the year. Because I remember I saw it that first Friday.
Oh, you know what? Ride Along was no, that was last year, wasn't it?
Ride Along was this year.
It was this year? Okay, that was the last movie of January, which... dominated January, which might as well be
they actually hard. Dominated February too, if I remember.
Yeah, it did. All that fucking money it made, that's a goddamn shame. January is just gonna be Kevin Hart month and shit,
and he's got another one coming out this year.
Yeah, he's got one in January and fucking March. That's stupid ass Get Hard, but I was like, oh god.
The Will Ferrell movie.
Oh Jesus Christ, I've never seen a trailer where I was already saying, yep, that's a fucking that is a mighty old even the Transformers movie, I even gave passes to whatever. I was just like, I'll give it a chance. Maybe, because Michael Bay has always came out and said, I apologize for that last one or something like that. I even gave those, all four of them, a chance and shit. But I ain't never seen no trailer like Get Hard and said, yeah, that movie's a fucking...
I really wondered what I was freaking watching when I saw that trailer, when I saw Horrible Bosses 2. I'm like, what the fuck is, what's the point of this movie?
Oh man, you saw it when Harl. I didn't even see it with Harl. Damn, you saw it early. Shit. Fuck, I feel sorry for you, that shit. And did you see the poster? Kevin Hart giving him cornrows, and I was just like, oh my god, oh, Jesus. You know what it felt like? I was like, oh, it's Malibu's Most Wanted all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was like, oh, man.
Just with a higher budget. Just with a higher budget.
Oh, yeah, we're really going back to that. Will Ferrell finally realized, oh, let me team up with a popular comedian right now, and we'll just make a fucking stereotype jailbird. It's like, oh.
Even though Kevin Hart's that wedding, was it Wedding Ringer?
The wedding, oh, Jesus.
That doesn't look that terrible.
Yeah, but it's Kevin Hart, so it probably will be.
Yeah, but you did like Things Like a Man, too, though.
No, I fucking despise that fucking movie.
You told me a couple weeks ago you actually thought it was pretty good.
Oh, what was that?
Yeah, I swear a couple weeks ago you said it was pretty good.
Oh, man. You talking to the wrong P1. You talking to the alter ego of P1. So I fucking hated that movie. I put that on my worst of the summer list. I hated that. I never walked out. I didn't even like the first one that much, to be honest. I was just like, yeah, whatever. Everybody's raving about it. I was like, I only like certain characters in here. Other than that, I was like, it's a streaming at best. But
wait, you walked out?
No, I never walked out of either one. No.
Oh, because I was like, first screenings.
Yeah, that one was a premiere I went to, actually.
I was like, I don't think you can really walk out of a screener, can you?
Yeah, you sit by the door at the top, yeah. They stamp your hand and shit like that, whatever, so you can get back in. It's like, don't stamp my fucking hand, I don't want that shit. But Thing Like a Man 2 was funny as fuck, because I know the wife, she wanted to watch it. She was pumped. She was like, I gotta come with you to this early thing to see it. She was like, and when she saw it, she agreed. She was like, wow, that was horrible. She's like, I can't believe I was excited to see that.
No, I haven't seen either one.
Don't worry, you don't need to see it. But see, let's get to our best of the 2014 Throwback Tuesday list. We ran it on for 15 minutes now, so it's about that time to give the people what they want, what they need, what they ask for. This people, this list is our year's work, in a way.
Very difficult list to put together.
I don't know what it has been about this year that's been hard to put lists together.
Well, we did pick a lot of good movies and a lot of bad movies.
Yeah, all my lists, I've had a hard time putting them all together. I don't know why that is this year, but I don't know. Some of the bad movies I've seen this year, they all feel like it could have been just one movie, you know? I don't see no difference of why this one's worse than the other one or whatever, shit like that, because I'm just like, well, one problem, all the bad movies I have on my list is they're all too fucking long, so that's the problem.
Yeah, all movies are like over 2 hours now.
Fuck yeah, man, and mainly it's the comedies that's over 10. Comedy shouldn't be over 2 hours.
No, I noticed Vince Vaughn started that trend.
Oh my god, all the comedies this year were 2 hours, man. Over fucking 2 hours, like Jesus.
Wait, Christ, Tammy, man. Was 2 hours?
Tammy was 2 hours.
Not worth that. That should be like a half hour movie.
Tammy was a fuck you. That's what it was. But Z, why don't you kick us off with your number 10 best of list?
My number 10 is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh,
we just reviewed it.
Oh yeah,
on our Christmas special.
Yeah, which was quite a pleasant surprise. A lot of people liked that review from what I got the feedback on. So yeah, that was real good.
I really enjoyed the movie. It's I haven't revisited it yet, but if I revisit it, it's probably gonna move up. That's why it's number 10. It had to move up. Loved Downey Jr. I loved the camaraderie between Kilmer and Downey Jr.
Have we seen a movie this year with that great, as far as a Throwback Tuesday, with such great camaraderie between the two leads?
The two leads? What about like X-Men with Fassbender and...
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably the last one, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
I can't think of, I don't know. Well, I was gonna say, you know, Harry Potter had those three were constantly together, but even their dynamic together is working well. They worked together. I still think they didn't create the magic that was Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. That was just magic.
Man. I can even say Zombieland with Eisenberg and Harold. And
yeah, man, I was gonna even quote on that one too. I mean, it was just something that was dynamic and it was just live and action about what Kilmer. And, I don't know. Maybe it's just because we don't expect that from him. But then again, in Zombieland, I didn't really expect that from Woody Harrelson either.
No. Kilmer, if this was like his first movie ever, you could see he is breakout star.
Oh yeah.
But this is not his first movie. We know we've established that.
Yeah.
It's I just don't. I just that's something you don't see from him. That a good time Val Kilmer. That's what it kind of was. It's kind of like that Downey Jr.'s charisma rubbed off on him.
Yeah, I haven't seen Downey Jr. this good since an Iron Man movie. I mean, as far as like his characteristics and shit.
Yeah, and he was very very good. He was kind of like a mix of like, you know how in Iron Man 3 how he's so like he had the PTSD.
Yeah.
This is kind of like he had that too a little bit.
Yeah, like I said in the review, he was a B-level Tony Stark in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's the complete opposite of what Tony Stark is, you know.
But it's number 10. It's because I had to include it because I enjoyed the movie so much. It's just that I enjoyed the characters so much that it outweighed the story. But
yeah.
If I revisit it, it's probably going to move up.
Well, my number 10 is The Karate Kid.
Good one.
Man, growing up, I loved this film. And this is definitely, I know we get that question a lot. What is a film, you know, you've seen as a kid or something like that and grew up and still hold it today? Man, Karate Kid, after rewatching, I was like, man, that movie still holds up to me. And even though I know we said in the review, I believe you said this with me, you agreed with me on that the second one is 20 times even better than what the first one is. Just because it feels like more threatening in that one,
yeah.
Because of the situation that they're in. But the first one, man, is a fucking classic, man. It's up there in the movies. I know we talked about Forrest Gump with the lines of, you know, life is like a box of chocolate. Like, Karate Kid is one of those memorable movies such as that. And, man, I love that film. Still holds up today. And it was, go back to a question I think we had last week. It goes back to actually watching a movie with a kid in it that didn't fucking annoy me.
Well, he was a 16 movie? 17?
Yeah, I think he's, at that time, he was about, he was 15, and I think he was 17 in real life.
Okay.
15 or 16, one of those.
There's, you know, teenager, and then you got kids who's, like, 13 and younger.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Too, though, so.
Yeah, big difference.
Like, I hate teenagers worse than kids in movies.
It's like if we did, fucking Douchebag Smith's movie, Karate Kid. Jesus. That would be a complete fuck it due to the fact of how annoying he is.
Yeah, Jaden Smith. Because he was a kid in the movie, too. And you know, his fucking voice and shit was so good. It's just like, and then I loved it because all the black women in the fucking video were just like, oh, he's so cute. I was just like, are y'all grading in on how he looks or how he acts? Because he acts like shit.
He's not cute. He looks like a fucking owl.
Thank you! He ain't cute, neither. That's the thing! He looked like some weird, fucked up, slanty-eyed Asian and shit. Shit, Kim Jong-un would be like, oh, shit, that's my son. Come here, son. You'd be looking at him and shit. What are you doing over there in America? Why'd you get darker?
Oh, I hate that kid.
Hate that fucking kid with a passion. I don't know if you heard my recent rant, but Wayne and them made a fucking joke talking about Jaden Smith is gonna be goddamn Terry McGinnis for Batman Beyond and shit like that. I was like, oh, fuck that, man. If that ever happens, I will never watch a DC property ever again. I'll never read a book. I'll never. Because, you know, Will Smith, he's on a Suicide Squad, and then Jada Pinkett Smith, she works on Gotham and shit. So it's just like, oh, you know, it's inevitable now that little Jaden Smith now, he's probably gonna get a role somewhere in the DC universe somehow.
Can't wait.
I said, if that ever fucking happens, I will never fucking watch a DC movie ever again.
I can't wait.
And I already heard there's rumors that a Teen Titans TV show might happen. I'm just like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. That means goddamn Jake might be a problem. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. I swear to God, they cast that nigga as Robin. Oh, Jesus, man. Oh, God. Oh, Chris O'Donnell don't sound so bad right about now.
Then we'll have a forced Robin ever.
Oh, Jesus, the battle of the worst Robins ever. Z, your number 9, man. What would that be?
My number 9 is Zombieland.
Oh, actually, that was my number 9 before I changed it, actually.
Oh, you know, this was all Harrelson. This is all Woody Harrelson. You seriously lived the movie through him.
Yeah.
And you don't get a lot of that in movies. You don't, like, his character looked like it was, like, so free. I'm sure the director just gave him free range just because how awesome he was doing.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the character. I loved the four. I loved the group with Emma Stone and Abigail Breslin, too. It's just a fun movie. It's a lot different type of zombie movie with the comedy involved in it, but it worked.
This is the end method as well, with, you know, people like Bill Murray and them showing up and stuff.
Biggest surprise, I think, ever in a movie.
Best cameo ever.
Yeah. But and that movie is like a tops of like a comedy horror movie of all time.
I thought that Bill Murray, even his 5 minute scene, was better than Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, and Abigail Breslin all together.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like Bill Murray and Woody Harrelson, just that movie would just be like probably number one.
What if Jesse and them would have died in that house, and then him and Woody Harrelson and Bill Murray went on the road together?
I'm sure Woody Harrelson would like that.
Man, that'd be an awesome, actually, like, spin-off, like, a little short or something like that, just seeing them two on the road, because everybody knows from Zombie, like, Woody Harrelson fucking, like, idolized goddamn Bill Murray and shit in the movie. So yeah. Just imagine the look on Woody Harrelson's face the whole time and shit. Play that with some sappy-ass romantic music as he tries to save Bill Murray from zombies and shit, that'd be hilarious.
That's a nice idea for something. That's better than the sequel.
Yeah, or in that TV
show. TV show, that's what I meant.
Shit, that damn near probably was village. Man, that TV show is horrible, dude. Like, I don't think I've ever seen something as great as Zombieland and then saw a spinoff. Not even a spinoff, a continuation.
Yeah.
That was so fucking horrible. Man, they should have just named those people something else, because those characters were definitely fucking not Tallahassee enough.
Yeah, but Zombieland's a good, if you're a horror zombie fan, it's good for zombies. If you like comedy, it's good for comedy. So it opens the basis for everything.
Yeah, I don't see how you can say I don't like zombies and watch this movie and say I don't like this movie.
It's impossible.
Yeah, I don't know not one person that hates this movie.
It's funny that Eisenberg's rules are cliches in every fucking movie.
Yeah.
That's like a big slap in the face to horror people.
That's a life method to him.
It's true.
I'm sorry, Eisenberg's up there. Man, that dude, he had a nice track record this year of good movies that came out, these limited release ones. He had, like, I want to say 4 movies that came out this year that were all pretty good. And my God, man, I watched all 4 of those this year, and I was just looking at him, and I was like, man, it's just something about, I don't fucking like him, dude. Like, it's just something about him that just makes me want to punch him in the face.
Even though he was fantastic in Social Network.
I don't give a fuck if he was fantastic, and he's a little bitch.
If you're going by just his looks, I could see that.
I'm going by him in general. He's an asshole.
Well, it kind of works with some of his characters, though.
Nah, because then it becomes boring. He plays the same shit, whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
I've seen that in a couple of his fucking movies already now.
Yeah, I've seen it in a few, too.
30 Minutes or Less was the first one that kicked it off.
God damn that movie.
Yeah, what the fuck that movie. I think Eisenberg is typecast, if you ask me. I mean, because the same shit went to Adventureland as well, whatever it is.
Yes, yes, that was the one I'm trying to think, like, that's the one that was, like, exactly the same.
Yeah, I haven't yet to see that nigga do anything different. Zombieland probably might be the biggest thing that he did different, to be honest. I don't know if that's just because it's a comedy. I can't remember too many of his comedy films, but... When you stick him in something like Adventureland or Social Network or The Double or something like that as a drama, he's pretty much the same goddamn character from all of them.
We'll see when he's Lex Luthor, see how kind of an asshole he is there.
Better hope Batman don't break his fucking nose if he be an asshole. Oh, man, yeah. God, Lex Luthor, 25 years old, billionaire company that runs small... Metropolis. That's going to be awesome to see that. My number 9 is Thor. Now bring the hammer down. I remember when this movie came out, man. I was easily saying, out of all the Marvel movies, this one ain't going to work. And I was like, this one ain't going to work at all. I was a big fan of the Thor books, and I know that they fucking, a lot of the earlier ones kind of suck. I mean, the material itself, it's hard to fucking translate that Shakespearean dialect. And the movie here, and I was just like, man, this movie's going to be cheesy and corny as hell. I was like, it's going to be horrible. But, man, this was like my first film I saw from Marvel that put me on their belief system.
Yeah.
Seeing how they made this movie come together, I was like, man, this is like gold to me. It'll never make like my best superhero list or anything like that. It'll make more of an appreciation list. That to see one of my favorite characters from Marvel, or superheroes in general, actually get a live action film that was actually done right. I mean, and still stay toned down into the whole universe itself as well to fit in so perfectly. And I was like, oh my god, it's almost like they accomplished two things at once with this movie. And I was very fucking happy about that. I was very proud. And the fight scenes in this movie, especially the first one when they go to the Frost Giants.
Great scene. Shit. Great scene.
Man, when he uses like all of his damn moves that I knew from like comics or videos and shit like that. He does all of his fucking moves from throwing the hammer, hitting the ground, making the shockwave, showing lightning and shit like that. I was like, damn, they got this out the way in like the first 10 minutes. I was like, shit, dude, I'm pumped, I'm excited. The tornadoes and shit. I was like, dude, I was like, when I first saw them, I was like, they got my attention. I'm already there. The action scenes. That's one thing I love about the Thor movies. Both of them is they both kick off with some pretty cool action scenes at the beginning of
And that's that's the third movie of the Phase One.
That's right. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, and Hemsworth. No,
wait, Iron Man 2 come out first before.
Ooh.
I think Iron Man 2 came out before.
Was it? Was Iron Man, Hulk, and Iron Man 2? So okay.
The fourth one.
And Hemsworth, he was probably the least known out of the Avengers at the time.
Yeah.
So, they pretty much took a risk. They pretty much went on looks at the time.
He had a lot of movies on the shelf, too.
Yeah, Red Dawn was on the shelf for like 3 years.
Yeah, and Cabin in the Woods as well. And mm-hmm. that one came out, like a month before the Avengers. A year after Thor was released and shit. I guess they didn't, know how this guy would translate well, being an Australian actor and shit, and still having that accent and stuff. But the dude, I think Chris Hemsworth, and personally out of all the Avengers too, has had probably, I don't want to say the most success, because obviously I think that's going to Scarlett Johansson right now. Chris Hemsworth, man, when I saw him doing Rush, I was like, dude, yeah, you might be the first Avenger to win an Oscar, and then next, we looked at that, and then it's like, oh, he got the screw job, never mind it.
then you got Chris Evans, a Snowpiercer.
Yeah, but then you got Scarlett Johansson bringing in the money with Lucy, and then with her limited release film, Under the Skin, and then her being nominated as well for her fucking voice. I mean, they were talking about, why isn't she? I mean, that was a big controversy. It's like, why isn't Scarlett Johansson nominated? Her voice was fucking amazing. So Scarlett Johansson definitely is the biggest star right now in that whole crew.
Yeah.
But like you said, Marvel's really stepped this these actors their games up as far as their movies go.
Which is great. That really it shows how much faith that the actors have with Marvel.
Oh yeah, and hey, Marvel makes you a star now.
It does, because everyone pretty much on the planet sees their movies.
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman, that dude's going to be a fucking huge fucking star now and shit like that. Benedict Cumberbatch is already a star as far as pop culture and shit goes.
As the nerds.
He's going to get a fucking bigger geek culture following him now, too.
Yeah, and we knew Chadwick was going to be a star from 42 and then Get On Up.
Yeah. And the thing was about those two movies, which are two great movies. I don't really speak for the movies itself, but his performance in both of them were both believable and great. I mean, he was great. I always thought that those two movies both got overlooked, as far as because obviously Get On Up came out with Guardians of the Galaxy. I was like, that's the biggest fucking mistake you could have made and shit. The movie made his money back, obviously, because it was cheap, but that movie was fucking forgetting.
Yeah, then Jersey Boys got released shortly after that or before that, around the same.
It was before that. Jersey Boy got released before Tammy in July.
Okay.
Yeah. So, after Guardians, it was Turtles and shit. A week after later, but yeah, Get On Up easily got overlooked. 42, I think, came out the wrong month. I think they should release that somewhere around the fall. He probably would have got at least a nod at a Golden Globe or something. Uh-huh. So I think Marvel definitely will help put his career on the map as far as what this guy could do, because so far all he's played is two black icons, and obviously they got overlooked. So I think Marvel's going to put him out there, especially if he can pull it off, or one of the first, one of the few many black superhero films that people have been craving for the past, I don't know how many goddamn years now. So he got a lot of pressure on him, I think, more than anybody right now.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, because if that movie sucks, you're going to blame that Negro.
My number 8 is Karate Kid.
Karate Kid, oh.
I'm was with you. That movie, we're what, 20 years? 30 years.
Yeah, I think you said in the review, 30 years.
30 years. And it still holds up. It's like, you can seriously, it's 2014, and you can still put in the DVD now and still enjoy it. Yeah. No CGI, no special effects, you know. It's just straight, you know, the movie's just heart. The whole movie's heart. And you love the character.
It's relatable, too.
Yeah, I was about to say it. You love Daniel-san so much, and you love Miyagi. Yeah, I wouldn't say you even love the freaking Cobra Kai, because they're how much of a douchebags they are.
Yeah. And plus, you want to see them get their ass beat, so yeah.
So, I mean, that movie is, without a doubt, probably one of the best teenage movies, high school movies of all time.
Oh, yeah, easily. And just like I said earlier, the second one is even better, people. I'm telling
you.
Oh,
yeah, the second one, it's so dramatic, that fight scene, it's so real. You seriously, watching that movie, you know he's gonna survive, but... Yeah. I wish they would have done it in part 3, the after effects, like the PTSD of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wish they would have touched on that. But
it's a shame, it's the third one. I don't remember the third one that much, but I know a lot of people don't like that one, and I know I don't really care for it that much either, but that third one kind of really dropped the ball by going back into it.
I think they just made the third one just for cash grab. That's all it was.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Oh, and that second one, like you said, you know he's going to win and shit, but... it's not about how we know how the outcome is. It's how the filmmaker builds up the tension into it, like makes it look like as if he fell. And I ain't gonna lie, man, that fight, man, that was a brutal ass fight at the end of the second one. I was like, Jesus Christ. And I love the tournament in the first one. The tournament is just like one of the best scenes ever. And plus, you really grow with this character. I mean, Daniel-san himself, he's kind of he's not a douchebag as the Cobra Kai, like Z said, but he's got a little bit of an arrogant assholiness to him. I mean, when he gets there, he's all bitter about moving. He gets into a fight a couple of times with the girl and shit. But, you know, I saw it as relatable in some points. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand completely where he came from, you know, as far as being moved away from, you know, his friends and family and shit like that. Then constantly be running into some bullies and shit. Struggling between this girl, finding out, you know, she may be too good for him because she lives in a rich neighborhood and shit like that, and, you know, he's gone broke, so yeah, I definitely related to him.
And also, a great song.
Oh, yeah! You're the best around! I'm not gonna run! You're the best!
Great song.
On my list, I think that might be the best song on my best of list. Oh, you know what? No. It might be the second best. I got a movie on here that I actually like the song of, but...
I got one, too.
But my number 8, dude, is Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Who would have thought this movie would have worked?
Franco?
Actually, I want to say this is the year where James Franco kind of turned his career around to the dramatic side, because, either it was this year or I think it was a year before when Franco did 127 Hours and got nominated and stuff like that. That's when he started pulling out his dramatic work and shit. Mm. He was like, oh, damn.
I think it was the same year.
I think it was the same year, if I'm not mistaken. Could be wrong, people. Correct me on that one. But, he really pulled it out of his ass with this one, man. I remember, I'm not a fan of the original Planet of the Apes movies.
No, they're garbage.
Yeah, I really can't watch those, but I've tried to rewatch them, and I'm just like, I think what's cool about them is pretty much the social satire and shit like that of them, but as far as the movies itself goes, I just can't sit there and watch them. And when I saw the trailer for this one, I remember I saw the trailer with my mother, and I remember going, like, because she feels the same boat as me, I remember going, like, for some reason, that trailer looks badass, and I like that they're using the mocap with the monkeys and shit like that. As much I fucking hate those costumes shit that we saw in the original, I was like, I can't get over that today. I'm just like, the costumes, dude, man. Wow, Hollywood has came a long way from effects, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, when Transformers 4 had worse dinosaurs than Jurassic Park.
hey, not eight, those robotic dinosaurs.
I'm talking in the first half of the first part of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. I forgot about that shit.
That's impossible. How do you decline that much?
Land Before Time had better dinosaurs than Transformers.
Fucking the sci-fi movies have better. The $1 million movies.
That goddamn tornado and Man Steel look more realistic than the fucking dinosaurs and Transformers and shit. But I won't judge the dinosaur, even though they look like shit. I will say that. I've never seen a real dinosaur, but they look like shit. But I will not harp away from that. But yeah, man, Rise of the Planet Apes, man. And what I like about the second one, too, the first one is, I hear a lot of people saying which one is better. And I'm like, man, to me, I think... It's not even a cop-out. I think both of them are just equally as just as good. You could easily watch back to back and feel like you just watched one complete story.
It's a nice origin.
It's a great origin story, and I really fell for that monkey dude. Man, I was like, man, I remember when I watched that, I was just like, god damn, dude, I've had more feelings for this monkey than I had a human being in this whole movie. I think the characters in Rise of the Planet of the Apes they're whatever. I think the only one you really care about is James Franco, and that's only because of his attachment to Caesar.
Yeah.
Everybody else in here was kind of just like, whatever. Malfoy from Harry Potter, I thought that dude was horrible, I'm not going to lie. I was just like, man, they could easily just fucking cut him out of this movie. But altogether, man, this was like magic that just happened on screen. It was one of those rare remakes that came out that was better than the original.
Is Rise considered a remake? Because it was technically a prequel.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Because I want to say it takes place after or before the third one. I can't remember now. I'm blanking.
Yeah, I know, but I'm with you. Like, Rise is such a... I think it was a surprise movie, except I'm kind of with you. That people are like, you know, the first one came out, what, the 70s?
Yeah, how many was it? There was like, what, 8 of them, I think, or something?
5 to 8, I think. I'm not sure. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
I lost way count of those motherfuckers a long time ago. I think when Mark Wahlberg came out here, I lost count. I said, you know what, I'm done with this shit.
But I'm with you on that, too.
Yeah. Number 70.
Hotel Rwanda.
Oh! Phenomenal.
This first time I've ever seen this was during our Black History Month this year. And
that was so long ago.
Yeah, it was so long ago. This movie is just so powerful with the message, with Don Cheadle. Absolutely the best performance I've ever seen him do is this.
Yeah.
And this guy is seriously underrated. How he was, like, remember when Ocean's 11 came out?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he just got pushed to the side because of Clooney, Pitt, Roberts, Garcia, Damon.
Consider one of them, you know?
Yep. And he was. He was a name at the time, but...
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm talking about as far as, like, you know, that George Clooney, Brad Pitt crew.
Yeah.
He wasn't part of that crew.
No, even in the sequels. Even in the sequels, he's pushed to the side, and I think that pissed him off. But this movie is just... so powerful with their message. Cheadle's performance is just so, you know, terrorizing.
And it was PG-13. Remember that too.
Yeah. It's just the visuals that they showed that you, like, when you saw, you see it, his reaction, Cheadle's reaction, you seriously, like, see it through his eyes.
I can't remember the last PG-13 movie I saw, especially a drama, too, at that. A PG-13 drama where I absolutely fucking adored, like hell, man. I cannot remember the last PG-13 drama that I saw and loved as much as I did Hotel Rwanda.
I don't know, because sometimes you think a movie's PG-13, but it's R, you know? Never know. You don't know the boundaries anymore.
Especially when it deals with something on the subject matter, too.
True story, too.
Yeah, especially that subject matter. Every movie I know down there is rated R, without a doubt. And that's talking about for blacks, Mexicans, or whatever it is, or whites, blacks, Mexicans. That's all rated R and shit like that because they do some gruesome and brutal shit in there. But I don't know how this movie skated by with PG-13 and still hold that powerful touch with it, with this storytelling. And so maybe it was Don, like you said, maybe it was Don Cheadle himself. But I mean, there were some scenes. I think it was when the cameraman was recording. And they shot that scene of all those bodies of the kids.
Yep.
I was just like, like, you didn't have to see close-up shots because it was a faraway shot of it and stuff, and you still felt that just like, Jesus, man, I don't even need you to walk over there.
Was Schindler's List PG-13 or R?
That's a good question, actually. I would assume that shit's R.
Because I think the MPAA, they kind of scaled back maybe a little bit. I think due to the... Because now, back then, 90s, we were very PC. Now we're very open.
Yeah, and plus nowadays, that rating is just a business fucking move now. You know,
Yeah, I think all these.
it has nothing to do with the grotesqueness of a film or anything like that. Schindler's List was rated R. I just looked it up.
I agree
It
with
has
you
nothing.
because that's why all the horror movies are PG-13 now, just so they get the kids to get there.
There you go. Yeah, because they know damn well the adults mainly ain't gonna go see those kind of shits no more and stuff. But you're exactly right. PG-13. That's why what's his name? Stallone made Expendables 3 PG-13. Cause he's like, oh, we get new audience in there. It's like, nigga, you ain't getting no new audience. Come on now.
You're not getting a new audience on the third one.
Come on. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, exactly. Whatever. It's like once you get to if the first two were just like mediocre, but they were like whatever. What makes you think you're gonna get a new audience in the third one? Like, come on now, that's the stupidest fucking move I've ever heard. But yeah, like you said, most people that go to theaters nowadays is the teenagers and shit like that. PG-13, Vincent and Mara, which I don't know why they probably sell them radar tickets any fucking way. I've been in multiple fucking ticket lines and never once heard them ask, "Let me see some ID" or something like that.
I got. Shit, I can't remember what movie it was, but I got ID'd.
Was it this year?
Yeah.
Nightcrawler?
It might have been.
I can't remember
'Cause
any
that's.
rated R movies you've seen this year. But
Was Equalizer as R. But I
yeah,
went.
that was rated R. Equalizer,
Let me
and
look at my list.
Nightcrawler.
It had to have been Nightcrawler because it was recently. Because when I'm like completely shave my face, I look so young.
Yeah.
And.
Plus you still got the bald head, right? Yeah.
And I got like a crew cop.
Okay, yeah. That helps too in that way.
I think it was Nightcrawler. I got actually ID'd. I'm like, are you serious?
You know, I don't, I'm trying to, because I remember Nightcrawler like a motherfucker, but even that one, rated R, I was going to say, man, the language wasn't even that bad in the film, and there was a couple of shots of blood, but other than that, I don't want to say.
I think because it was so dark.
Yeah, it was very fucking dark. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to discredit the movie at all, but I think that rating was bullshit. I think they could have probably slept by with that PG-13, but I guess because it showed a lot of blood in the film, that's probably why it went to R.
That's very possible, yeah.
Yeah, because that house scene he went into, that was just nothing but nonstop blood scene, so.
It's gotta be that one. I can't think of any other movie I saw that. It's gotta be.
But good choice, though. My
Yeah,
number
that.
7 is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. I'm shocked that I actually give a fuck about Harry Potter, to be honest.
Well, this movie is action ball wall to wall.
Man, I'm not gonna lie, when Harry Potter first came out, I was just like, whatever, I don't really care for him, but I think around the third one is where it picked up for me. And for me, a franchise that went on this long had no right getting better. Most
No,
franchises.
right.
Yeah, no right getting better. I'm gonna tell you right now, most franchises that go on and on and on, they seem to get worse. This is the first one I actually remember seeing that went on this long. That the story got better as it went along. I was just like, man, I'm really like every time, like even like somewhere between the fourth and fifth one, which I might have not been crazy about. I always felt like after watching one of those, I had to wait till the next year to see the next one. I have to see it in theaters. I just have to see it now. It's like the story has me so hooked in and stuff like that. It was something that, you know, Twilight could never fucking do. You know, I saw the first movie. And I recognized what the story was, recognized how sassy it was. Saw the second one, I was just like, okay, this is just horseshit. And even if it wasn't horseshit, these actors don't have me sold in this universe enough to come out to come see any more of these films. But in something about Harry Potter, I don't know if it was just that world, because I'm not really that big on fantasy films, but I don't know if it was just that world or this crew of characters that were in here. Man, Professor Snape, man, that is a badass character. And I'm not just talking about for Harry Potter, just for characters in general. I think he's probably one of the best fantasy characters I've ever fucking seen on screen, to be honest.
I think Rickman, I think he just brought it out. He was just amazing.
Yeah, plus that mystery they had tied to his whole story for 8 fucking movies. I was like, man, that was
And what did
bullshit.
we say? I remember in the review when they did the flashback of the whole
Yeah.
Snape thing. That was probably the best part of the whole movie.
Oh yeah, easily, man. That was easy. I love films that are supposed to be like the action-packed part or whatever. And I love how the most subtle scene can be like, you know, the best part of the whole movie. You know, I said that in Days of Future Past. He had all this other shit going on here as far as like the action scene and stuff. But I remember saying my favorite part of the whole film was just seeing Magneto and Professor X talk on that plane. That conversation they had was interesting. And same thing goes for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. All these wizard battles and shit like that, action's happening, people's dying left and right. But one of the best parts of that whole damn movie was that quiet moment of when Snape was dying and he saw the memory of Snape with his mother and how his father bullied him. And I was like, damn, dude. Like, one scene just gave, like, filled in a whole 8-movie series of telling me this whole character. I was like, that is fucking perfect right there. It was such a nice closure, too, to that character.
Yeah, it was. The pacing in the movie. It's a 2-hour movie. I think it's like 2:15-ish.
Yeah.
You don't feel 2 hours. Like, seriously, I could pop in Harry Potter right now and watch that one anytime and enjoy it frequently.
It gets right into it.
It gets right into it. Like, you don't even, I don't even think you really need to watch the previous 7 movies.
No. If you have an idea of, like, I want to say everybody has pretty much a consumption of what Harry Potter is. I mean, you know, he's attached to this evil lord that he's trying to kill. I mean, once you get that down, you probably recognize everything else. And every other character's in here, they probably, like, the old Dumbledore and all that, you probably won't even need to know all those characters. You can probably watch this as a standalone film. It's one of those Marvel movies where it's like, you can watch them as standalone films, but I would suggest that you watch them all just to get the full benefits of it.
Yeah, because you never know. We never know what's going to tie in.
Yeah,
to a movie. Exactly. So,
and
like,
plus, I think you get more of the movie experience of what the director and the filmmakers want you to get by watching all of them.
Yeah, and this is, you know, Twilight missed the boat on tying everything really together. Lord of the Rings kind of stayed true, but Harry Potter, everyone, it literally picks up right after the first, after the previous one.
Yeah, it really did. J.K. Rowling stepping in as a consultant, man, she really fine-tuned this franchise as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she told him the first and second one, man, it's too close to the books, which, and you know, that's great from her to be able to say that too, that to recognize the difference between the book and the movie and saying, like, you need to change this because it just doesn't fit for film or whatever. That shows she has an eye for, you know, filmmaking as well,
mm-hmm.
as far as writing novels and shit, because I don't know too many people that write books or whatever that can be like, yeah, change this from the book. Please, change it. It's not going to make any sense. Most people be like, no, I created this. You need to put that in there or whatever, even if it's bad or something.
I can't think of any. Stephen King, possibly. But I think he's more a consultant than director.
Yeah. Sometimes Stephen King can have a fucking ego on his head, too.
But J.K., she could actually step in the director's chair and actually prove herself, which, maybe she will, but I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
Maybe she I don't think she is, because she doesn't seem to be like really that eager to get into it. I think it was just more of like, that was a passion project for her, because Harry Potter is her passion drive. I would say probably step in as co-director on a future project or something. Maybe you can see how they're gonna. But
producer,
say, the woman knows how to add to fantasy movies.
Yeah, she added a lot to the whole story.
Yeah, because I didn't really care for the first two because they follow the book so goddamn much. And he's just like, okay.
I'm kind of with you, but I think it was because they're kids. And I'm like, I hate kids in movies, so.
Yeah. Well, no, the kids didn't annoy me. I didn't find them annoying at all. I thought they was actually pretty smart for their ages. I think they were like 8 or 10.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But, number 6.
Number 6 is Ghostbusters.
That's when a good one. That is not on my list.
It's one of those movies, it's kind of with Karate Kid, that it still holds up to this day. And there's a lot of talk about the female Ghostbusters right now that people, I think that helps the original, because people are going to look back, new people, kids, are going to look back and just watch it. They're going to be like, oh, this is 80s stupid stuff, you know. We're just like Iron Man and shit like that. But it, you know, you got 4 guys. I'm not even throwing Ernie Hudson in there, because what the fuck did he do in that movie?
He didn't do a goddamn thing in that movie.
They just needed a black person. That's all they needed.
Yeah, it was like they just had to diversify somehow or something like that.
Yeah, in both 2 movies, he didn't do shit. You know, you had 3 characters who are obviously best friends with Murray, Aykroyd, and Ramis, and it's just their chemistry with each other just oozed off screen. They're Bill Murray's sense of humor, you know, Ramis's smart guy, but he was also kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
Dan was just an idiot.
Yeah.
But it was just, it's such a good movie. I mean, Ghostbusters, it's one of my childhood classic movies that I love.
And after rewatching it, I can honestly say it still holds up in the comedy level as well.
It does. And it's not like, huh, it's not like comedy now, where it's kind of forced. This is, it's comedy at the time, you know, it's going to be funny, because who it was, but it was unintentional comedy.
Yeah.
It was great timing, especially Bill Murray. This was when he was the man in the 80s. It was like him and Eddie Murphy were the
two
in the 80s.
Him and Eddie Murphy. What happened to both of them?
They were the man. They did all those great comedies in the 80s, then they pretty much sold out in the 90s.
Yeah, that is a damn good comparison, actually. Yeah, man, that's the true Ebony and Ivory of careers right there.
Yeah.
Shit.
But Bill Murray's coming back, though. He's hit and miss. Lost in Translation, St. Vincent, you know, Zombieland. Betty Murphy just does shit. So
I think Bill Murray just doesn't give a fuck. He just signs up on it.
Yeah, I don't think he cares anymore.
And I don't think he gives a fuck personally or whatever, because I don't know what it is. Man, you know how it is when you get old. You just take work just to say, fuck it. You know, hey, it's an easy paycheck. And the shit that Bill Murray's been doing in recent memory, they just been looking like easy paychecks. And I'm not going to knock the guy for that. Because you know what? I'd fucking do it too. I mean, you're going to make a shitload of money just sitting there being Bill Murray? Fuck it.
Yeah, it's not like actors like have retirement plans, you know?
Because Bill Murray was fucking horrible in Monuments, man.
I haven't seen it, but I loved him in St. Vincent, though.
Yeah, so he fucking is hit and miss, to be honest. I mean, well, he's a lot more hit than missed than hit these days, but...
Yeah.
He'll probably have, like, one cameo or a movie where he's just like, oh, okay, that takes me back, but then probably 3 months later he'll come out with something and be like, what the fuck was he thinking?
But when he's on, he's on.
Mm-hmm. I think I just think he didn't give a fuck, personally.
Yeah, if he signs on with a good director, like kind of like I can't think who. I think you said it with Edward Norton. I think when he signs on to a good director, he tries his best. If not, he's just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna mail this in.
I don't know. He was pretty nailing that shit in Monuments, man. It was good talent on that one. So
maybe you're right. Maybe he just doesn't care anymore.
He does have this look on his face like he don't give a shit. I mean, you know, he ain't out to prove anything anymore. But my number six is Iron Man. It kicked off where we're at today.
Yeah.
It kicked off. One thing I love about Iron Man, I said this on my superhero best superhero list. The best thing about Iron Man, it is the first superhero film that I've ever watched where the other personality besides the superhero is much more interesting than the superhero. Tony Stark is far more interesting than Iron Man itself would ever be. Iron Man is cool. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he got that badass suit. He can fly around and shoot beams and shit like that. That's cool and all. But Tony Stark, to me, is what makes the Iron Man films. Because Tony Stark is just that fucking entertaining.
I'm with you. You know, if Iron Man was not a success, I don't think we would be where we are.
No, probably not. I wonder if Disney would have bought them. They probably would have kicked off Phase One. Maybe I don't know. They probably would have been worried with Thor and Captain America and the whole Avengers thing. But I don't think we'd even hit the Phase Two if it wasn't for like Iron Man and the Avengers itself. Banking in what it did, but I'm completely with you. Once again, this is the first superhero film I've ever saw where I saw the human being more interesting. Everybody knows Batman is cool as shit. Don't nobody want to be Bruce Wayne. Don't nobody want to fucking be Bruce Wayne. People fucking hate him because he's a billionaire. He's supposed to be playing this drunk, this billionaire playboy and stuff like that, but he's also dark and rude, and he's got fucking bat issues and shit like that, constantly talking to a bat and shit in a cave.
Having daddy issues.
Exactly. Peter Parker, his life is shit. I mean, his life is just shit. I mean, we all saw that in Spider-Man 2, where dude can't keep a job. his aunt can't pay the bills. He's got his uncle, the man that raised him, killed. The woman he loved was marrying another dude. And then you got his best friend turning on him for possibly killing his father. J. Jonah Jameson constantly giving him shit. I mean, Peter Parker himself, that dude is just, I don't know how the fuck he even wants to be Peter Parker. He should just be Spider-Man 24/7 because Peter Parker's life is horrible. Captain America, he don't have no life because he's still trying to catch up with time frames. Thor can just be Thor all day.
It's true. Bruce Banner, you know, he just don't get mad.
Yeah, exactly. Banner got the hardest life, man. Let's be real. There is no Bruce Banner got to be constantly worried about somebody not pissing him off. Like, I can only imagine he's having a great day, and let's just say a subway. He's riding the subway, and that shit just gets robbed in the middle of New York, and they tell him, they start hitting on him and shit like that. That subway is fucked after that. I mean,
could you imagine Bruce Banner driving to L.A. traffic?
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. He'd fucking be smashing everybody then, or whatever. He'd do that Hulk clap and smash every car past him and shit, you know? Ugh. Well, Tony Stark, man. That's why I also like that ending in Iron Man 3 too. Is just like, see, Tony Stark is such a badass. He don't need those suits. That's what I like about it. It's like them suits ain't shit to what Tony Stark is. Tony Stark makes Iron Man. This is the first time we ever saw a superhero film where, because you know a lot of people go like, oh, the casting choices for Batman, should they go like, but you know some people are just like, you know, Bruce Wayne, whoever plays him, Christian Bale, Michael Keaton, whatever. Batman is 20 times bigger than what Bruce Wayne will ever be. And I don't think you can say the same for Iron Man. I think that Iron Man is 20% what it is because of Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny that when he's on the Iron Man suit, he's still got the same personality. He, like, mm-hmm. Peter Parker turns into a complete asshole in the suit. Batman talks with a fucking raspy voice.
Yeah.
And Iron Man just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna, you know, be myself.
And you think that's all because he's giving out his identity already. He has no secrets, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the possible reasons, whatever. The thing about Tony Stark, too, it's like, is it a bold move or a brave move or to tell your identity? Because you've pissed off a lot of people in your lifetime, you know?
Selling weapons, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and then not to mention, yeah, you make weapons and shit, so it's like, I don't know, man. So, especially, you know, the government is constantly after him and shit, trying to register him and shit, because, you know, his suit is living armor, weapon itself and shit. So it's like, you would think he'd be the main one trying to keep an identity.
Yeah, that's why, I'm just going to say it now, this is my number 5.
Okay.
I love the ending. I absolutely love the ending where he says he's Iron Man. He pretty much shit on every superhero movie trying to keep an identity.
Yeah, he does.
Right, in those three words, I am Iron Man. Forward.
Spider-Man, Batman, he shit on all of them. And Batman Begins is a great film. Spider-Man is a great film, whatever. Yeah, he shit on all of them by saying, yeah, you know what? I am Iron Man. And the thing about it is, it's just like, oh, that's just the character. It's like, no, that's not the character. That's Tony Stark's ego kicking in. It had nothing to do with him just wanting to tell people his true identity and trying to keep a secret. Because you remember that scene with Coulson? He's just like, a bodyguard? Come on now, bodyguard protect? Okay. That was just Tony Stark's ego saying, I don't like this story. So I'm just going, fuck it. I'm telling people, I made this badass suit and shit. So almost to the point in the second movie opens up, he shows up to his own damn expo in his armor.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of asshole shit is that?
It's Robert Downey Jr. was this movie, and Favreau, I think that was his first movie directing. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think he had another film before that. He had a couple of films before that.
Oh yeah, he did like Elf and Maid and stuff like
that.
But this was his first action movie, and he's obviously what, executive producer on everything now, right?
Yeah, he definitely is, yeah.
The dude's talented as a director. You know, he's got eye, and you don't even see Iron Man a lot in this.
No.
Which, it's kind of like the Batman movies, especially Batman, or Dark Knight Rises. He's not Batman a lot. But this was a perfect origin story, kicked off the whole Phase 1, you know.
And I think that's one of Favreau's strong points, is he recognized that Tony Stark was bigger than Iron Man in this film. I think that was one of the weak points of Dark Knight Rises, since Bruce Wayne was never interesting in those three films. he put too much camera time on Bruce Wayne, which I don't have a problem with Bruce Wayne films. I actually love Bruce Wayne, but I don't think Bruce Wayne in either of the films were the strong points of those films. So I think that's where Christopher Nolan failed himself on Dark Knight Rises, and where Jon Favreau succeeded by giving Tony Stark more screen time than Iron Man.
Yeah, and I think this Iron Man pretty much brought back Downey's career. We discussed that in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He had a major drug problem in the early 2000s, and I think a lot of big Hollywood people were like kind of swaying away from him. So Marvel took a big leap with him.
He must have did some fucked up shit when he was on drugs, though. But like, how many fucking actors we know that's on drugs and people still go out to go see their fucking films and shit?
Well, he wasn't, like, beating his wife or, you know, he wasn't doing, like, shit like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get there. Like all the people I know in Hollywood that's done drugs and, like, done some fucked up things, people still go see their fucking films and shit, but, like you said, Robert Downey Jr., he did it and shit, and I don't recall him doing anything, like, really that fucked up. I know he was down in the ditches and shit, but people, like you said, people kind of just tossed him to the side because of his drug ass. I'm just like, I've seen worse.
Yeah, and I just think you had Terrence Howard as Rhodey. He is okay, but I think Cheadle's better.
Terrence Howard wouldn't give him nothing to do.
No, and he ruined that. You know, he kissed that ship goodbye.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow is okay. I'm not a fan of hers.
Yeah, she's kind of a bitch.
Jeff Bridges, I liked him. I really like Jeff Bridges. Didn't really seem like the most bad guy. You really thought it was the bald-headed Middle Eastern guy. You thought he was going to be the main one, but I Iron Man stays true to, you know, kicking off phase one.
And one thing it did is Iron Man wasn't that popular as far as comics go, and these movies made Iron Man like the fucking top-tier character in all superheroes now. So,
yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. brought that out of him.
So you got to stay true to that. I'm saying, if this was not successful, I don't think we would be going in Avengers 2.
Probably would be just because of Avengers 1 made so much money, then Avengers 2 come out. It's just the other films, probably.
And we probably wouldn't have the Marvel stuff coming on Netflix this in 2015. Probably we might not have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Like, we may have, like, the low budget, but I don't know if they would have took so many chances, but Avengers was such a success that it was just guaranteed more Avenger films are going to come.
Mm.
But my number 5, since yours is with Iron Man, my number 5 was X-Men First Class.
Okay.
Finally, I actually got a fucking X-Men movie that I actually love. So,
you know why?
X-Men was, that was one of the first comic books I've ever read. It was actually one of the first books I've ever gotten into. And I love the whole social satire of the films that, of the books, of what it brought into, like, you know, racism and discrimination towards mutants and stuff like that. First Class was the first time I've ever saw that on screen. I always felt like those X-Men movies, I've said this multiple times. Those X-Men movies were just dumbass action films. I thought those X-Men movies were... the X-Men movies, the 3 and the Wolverine movies, I don't think they ever traveled the world as far as, like, you know... I thought they always stayed in a box and just stayed on one character. And I think that what I like about Days of Future Past and First Class so much is that it got into those subcategories that X-Men books and the animated show brought out. It traveled that world of showing, like, hey, they're the human beings out there. I don't think the original X-Men movies really covered the humans that much and stuff like that, and their fear of the X-Men mutants. It was just good versus evil in those films. And one of the main problems is that they fucking forgot that it's a goddamn team movie, not a fucking Wolverine movie. Give him his own fucking movie then if you want to do that shit, which they did, and they both suck completely.
What
does that tell you?
Oh yeah, I'm with you, because I think that's why you enjoyed it so much, because you hate Hugh Jackman so much.
It's not even that I hate Hugh Jackman, it's just that it's a teen movie. Every X-Men on here has much more interesting fucking backstories than Wolverine does. In fact, Wolverine shit, and yet his story filled up all 3 fucking movies. And then, oh my god, when it got to the second one with the shit that they did in there, where I was just like, why do I see in the third one? And... When I said this, I was just like, I see a love triangle here happening, and I don't even know how it's going to happen. But when I saw the third film, and I was like, wow, this took the balls of going somewhere I didn't even think it would do. It fucking killed off the main character in Scott Summers' Cyclops just to push Hugh Jackman as the main lead actor just for fucking Jean Grey's love interest. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. I was like, this was like straight up like a Hollywood formula trilogy and shit. I was just like, my God, man. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like to shit on that third one. I was like, the first two was just as fucking bad because it led up to this shit.
Yeah, and Cyclops is a big character. And that's seriously like, it's like a Batman movie and killing off Bruce Wayne in the first 5 minutes.
That's fucking, I was gonna say, I don't know if people know, Cyclops has had one of the best comic book runs in goddamn X-Men history and shit like that, especially right now, because he has so much background in him that I was just like, man, they half-assed on him with his story. I mean, he's just, every character in there was just a background effect. Just a background. Everybody was wrongfully casted. I thought Scott Summers might have been the right cast, but they never gave James Marsden, but they never gave him anything to fucking do in the film. I was just like, wow, this guy's got nothing to do. And then you got Halle Berry as Storm. She's the fucking queen of Africa. She's married to Black Panther and shit. She fucking controls it. People worship her and shit. And she's in the fucking background talking about, you know what happens to a tailor when he gets hit by lightning? I'm just like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
And she all of a sudden lost her accent, like, think of the second one.
Oh! What First Class did is, even though it's supposed to be a Magneto and Xavier film, they still gave screen time to make every other mutant shine in the film.
Yeah, I mean, you had Kevin Bacon shined in it.
Has Magneto ever shined in any of those three movies?
No, because he's like 90 years old.
Thank you. Well, only thing that nigga does, and I keep saying is, it sticks his fucking hand out and stretches his fingers out. That's the only fucking thing he does in that whole goddamn trilogy. Xavier is just a liability case. They always gotta save his ass. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, man, Xavier has never been this useless.
You even have stuff like, what, Beast, what, in the came in like in the hour, and he had proper screen time.
Yeah, and Beast has one of the best backstories, too. It's like, because obviously, which we saw in First Class, he's afraid of what humans will think of him because he's coming out this blue creature and stuff. And I thought that was where Days of Future Past dropped the ball with his character. They should have showed how his character now lives with the whole humans and stuff and how he figures out, because at one point in his life, he pretty much was damn near like the Hulk and wanted to kill himself, but he just became accepting of it and tried to work better to help the mutants and humans. Mm-hmm. And once again, I thought First Class, it gave Mystique and Beast backgrounds that we never even knew in the first three films. Banshee and Havoc got their time to shine.
Emma Frost.
Yeah, even the villains got their time to shine. And then they had ended it with the moment of the humans finding out that, like, oh shit, mutants exist. You know, what do we do with these threats? They're threats to us now, you know? And I was like, this has everything I wanted out of an X-Men film.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Number four is
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh!
I'm with you that this movie, like, I wasn't a big fan. I think the first one's just a joke. I really do.
Yeah.
I think the first one's just terrible and all. Especially, was it Beneath the Planet of the Apes? Just terrible. Yeah. This one, amazing storytelling. It really was. You know, you get the partnership with Franco and Caesar, and that's why this is probably Franco's best performance.
Yeah.
Next to 127 Hours. But it's just how he felt through an animal, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it was just Caesar and Franco. That's it. Everyone else is just background. Lithgow, I hated that they kept throwing stuff with him in there. I think that was just more for Caesar than Franco.
Yeah, everything else that happened in the background was just more for Caesar, which I think that's the only reason why we probably gave it passes. It's just because Caesar was such a great character that we need stuff for him, for stuff in the background to happen just for him to interact with it. And I think that's the only thing that kept us from hating the main characters, to be honest. Because they're really just dry cut, generic, and boring, to be honest.
Yeah, and when they finally escaped that entire thing on the bridge. You know, the huge ape taking out the helicopter. Oh my god, it's just awesome. Like, it's like, seriously, like, it's kind of a classic, like, a war movie.
Oh, yeah, a fucking great, funny-ass scene, too, with David Oyelowo when he walked into, he's on the phone, and he's talking to someone, he walks into the office.
Oh, yeah.
Ape circled around.
That was a beautifully shot, too.
And the brother just ran. I was like, that's the smartest Negro in the whole movie. He's like, he didn't think about it. He looked up, saw it, and ran. I was like,
it was kind of like a mix. Like, it was kind of like, you know, you got the Planet of the Apes and stuff. But it was also kind of a mix of Contagion or Outbreak, where you got the stuff about the virus transferring.
Which really picked up in the second film.
Yeah. So, just...
It was like Batman Begins with that, the virus thing. It did a nice little leadway to get you into the sequel, getting ready for the sequel and shit with that.
Yeah, they didn't spend so much time on it that you're like, you know, you're invested in that. You're invested in the apes, which this one you should be, because it's an origin story. And it's just, this is one of my, obviously, top 20 movies of all time. Is Rise. It's just the storytelling is just beautifully told. You know, awesome work by the director, awesome work by Franco, which I can't believe I'm saying that. But and then Andy Serkis, the guy's a god when it comes to CG.
Oh yeah, guy's a fucking god. I think that personally too. With the sequel that came out to it, he's proved that he ain't the only one that can do this. Because the dude that played Koba. That was some great motion capture work as well. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is about these monkey movies that bring out the best in these mocap actors, but...
I seriously hope Marvel picks up Serkis for at least a CG something.
Well, you know, he's the one that's trained. He trained Bruce Banner.
That's right, he did. And the new one.
All that and shit like that for him. He's the one that's why Bruce Banner's mocap is, like, damn near good. Edward Norton would have never done no shit. Like, that's another thing I appreciate about Mark Ruffalo more than Edward Norton is that...
Oh, Norton would have... His ego would have freaking said, who the fuck are you?
Actually, Gollum?
He
said that before that he won't do that kind of, like, the painting of the mocap or anything like that. He's like, fuck that, I'm not doing that. So, I actually like that Mark Ruffalo was doing the mocap work and actually taking the lessons from Andy Serkis and shit to hone it better.
He's the man you got to learn from. This guy is the freaking god of motion capture.
Yeah, I thought he's the one that brought heart to those Hobbit films with his Gollum scenes.
And I just love, like, you seriously, like, his Caesar's facial expressions. Like...
Fucking perfect.
Dude, like, Caesar, like, you're supposed to hate Caesar. You really are. But you can't. You know what I mean? You can't hate him.
I don't think you're supposed to give a shit, really, about Caesar. Just because it's like, whatever, it's a monkey. You know, just...
Yeah, but you feel for him.
Yeah, you...
And that's exactly on Serkis. That's on Serkis.
Yeah. My number four is The Incredibles.
Nice.
Easily one of my favorite animated films of all time. Rewatching it, which I was glad. I remember when this movie first came out, I was like, I thought I was the only one that really loved it, because I didn't really hear too many people talking about it as much, because Toy Story was still out. Toy Story was just, that was like the top echelon thing. I thought, to me, that this was better than Toy Story, and I love fucking Toy Story. But The Incredibles, man, I thought that was one of the, actually, it did make my top 10 list of best superhero films, too. I think that what The Incredibles gave me was something I'll never fucking see, and that's a great Fantastic Four film.
It's true.
Yeah, unfortunately, but what is your number three, Z?
My number three is X-Men First Class.
Ooh.
You know, we saw so much of Wolverine. We saw a good cameo. I'm not gonna lie, it's a good cameo.
That was probably the best thing I've ever saw of Wolverine.
Exactly. I loved. This is, I think, the first movie I saw with Fassbender. Not the first one I saw of McCoy, because I saw Wanted. But I'm a big McCoy fan after this, and I love Fassbender because of this, because it's just, those guys were just so, they work so well together.
Oh, yeah. Easily, Days of Future Past and First Class, these two movies are sold on those two actors.
And you got, you know, like you said, you got so much, you had so much in this 2-hour movie than you did in 6 hours for the first three X-Men with other characters. You had Emma Frost.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, for the first three movies, tell me something about Storm. What do you know about her?
She lost her accent.
Tell me something about Cyclops. What do you know about him?
He's in love with Jean Grey.
Okay. Tell me something about tell me something about Nightcrawler.
He was only in one movie.
Tell me something about who else was in these fucking movies?
Rogue?
Tell me something about Rogue.
She was kind of a bitch.
Tell me something about Iceman.
Dude was a player.
Okay, see what I'm saying, people? Ain't a goddamn thing to be told about these fucking... Tell me about fucking Magneto in the X-Men First Class.
Smart, you know, cool, seeking revenge on freaking Sebastian.
Just said it right there, seeking revenge. He had a fucked up child. They fucked him over when he was a child and shit like that. And look what... Tell me something about McAvoy. What you know about him is... What does he want to do?
Fuck.
Yeah, that's what first we wanted to fucking do, whatever. Then he saw a greater purpose of helping mutants and stuff like that. I got much more out of this fucking Xavier than I did in those fucking three previous movies and shit. All I knew is that he owned a mansion in those three movies, and he was just a teacher at a fucking school.
Yeah, and you learn more about Mystique, that she wasn't always bad, that she actually didn't really embrace it until Magneto came on.
And she had all the right reasons for it, too. I love that Beast and I love that they made Beast and Mystique the two, like, almost sort of a love interest or somewhat. Mm-hmm. I love that they made that because they're two of the same characters on different side of the coin.
Yeah, and you can even throw in Sebastian's people. Emma Frost actually had a lot of screen time. Angel had some screen time, and they showed her.
Actually, she was almost like kind of like Mystique's character. She got tired of people judging her and looking at her and shit like that. I mean, mm-hmm. She had that great line where she was just like, I'd rather people look at me with my clothes off than what I'm on nowadays.
Yeah, Havoc. Havoc had freaking... You had more character development in this movie than you did in the first ones, which was 100% Wolverine.
I was going to say, everybody loves that first X-Men movie. Compared to First Class, how much character background do you get on any of the fucking characters? Do you know who Sabretooth is in that movie?
No. I still call bullshit on the first Wolverine movie about those two being brothers.
Oh, that was bullshit. That's one problem the X-Men franchise has, is continuity. That continuity problem. It's like, and when I saw that movie, and when they set up where they were just brothers, I was just like, you gotta be shitting me.
That was shoehorned.
You were right. That was some shoehorned shit just to make you forget that these two have history. And the easiest way of making them have history, just to fill in some gap, is just make them brothers.
And you even had character development with Toad in the second one more than the first one.
Damn, a fucking character nobody give a shit about.
Yeah, but X-Men, everyone's got to see X-Men First Class just because one, it's the acting. Everyone was on. Kevin Bacon, like if you've seen Super, imagine it in X-Men, but more higher budget.
Yeah, and I feel sad for First Class, too, because that was, like, the forgotten one, because everybody got tired of X-Men at that point, whatever, with that third one in the Wolverine movie coming out. It really fucked up the lingo of this one, mm-hmm. Whereas I think this one was just phenomenal.
It was pretty much beating a dead horse. Like, it was kind of like the Twilight. Well, Twilight did kind of lose money as they got released, because it was every year. But this one, like, so many, like, this was, X-Men 3 came out, what, 2007?
Yeah.
Then Wolverine came out in 2009.
Then First Class was 11.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the reboot of Spider-Man.
Yeah, that was some bullshit though, because X-Men First Class was the one that made the least money out of all of them.
But it was the best one.
And it was the best one. Yeah, it was the one that, because obviously, like I said, people was pissed when that third one came out, and then Wolverine came out. And I was like, all right, I think I'm tired of this shit now. Then when First Class came out, surprisingly, it came out fucking perfect, and it was a period piece too. That was another plus about the film.
Oh, I it was 60s, right?
Yeah.
60s or 50s? It was JFK. Bay of Pigs shit. You know, I still like just the storytelling, and I love. I absolutely... Fassbender made his name with this movie.
Oh, yeah. My number three film is... We already talked about it. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Mm. I mean, I don't think there's nothing else to say. So, Z, what is your number two film?
My number two is Harry Potter Deathly Hallows Part 2. Oh,
okay. That's pretty high on the list.
It's my favorite one. Like I said before, I can put it in now and still enjoy it. And still, watching this movie, especially with the flashback scene... You can seriously, it's reliving. You can actually, if you've seen for other ones like years ago, watching this now, watching the second one, it all brings your memories back.
Yeah.
That's awesome storytelling. Radcliffe, Watson, I can't think of Ron's name. They were great.
I was about to say, that's his name, isn't it? Ron Weasley.
I was trying to think of his real name.
Oh, okay. Damn, I forgot it too. Damn, I know this fucking name.
I think it was Russ. Isn't it Russ or something like that? His real name?
Some weird ass name and shit.
Yeah. And then this is the movie that made Rickman Snape. He was always just a secondary character, and he pretty much just shot up the list in this movie.
Well, actually, his movie was The Half-Blooded Prince.
Yeah, but I think as a character, I think it was this one due to the fact of the flashback scene. You got more with Snape in that 2-minute scene. That was,
you know, it's pretty awesome to have a background character like that, a side character like him, to have so much involvement into the story too,
mm-hmm.
that you probably never would expect. I think that's what one of the great things that make him so great too.
And then like I said earlier, like the pacing's perfect. It doesn't feel like 2 hours. You get wall to wall action pretty much nonstop. That's why it's such a quick breeze movie. And yeah. The final fight scene, I kind of have my small little issues with it. That I think Voldemort could have been a little more powerful, but it doesn't take over from the whole movie though.
I was going to say, didn't we talk about that too? I was like, yeah, any weaker in this film? So
I think because every time a Horcrux got destroyed, he got weaker.
Yeah, he got weaker. Yeah, I remember we talked about that. I was like, well, you have a problem with that? Shit. Like,
well, the snake wasn't dead at the time. And that,
yeah,
it
that
seemed
like
it
last
was just
one. I mean, each one he loses almost about 20% of power, you know?
Okay, but it's just a minor gripe that.
And plus, he wasn't using his wand either.
No, he was not. He was using the Deathly Hallows wand.
Yeah, the Dumbledore's wand and shit like that, which obviously he wasn't the one that could, so he didn't really have unleash his full potential and shit like that, so I think there's a lot of explanation on that one. So.
Yeah, but it's a great movie, great ending to the entire series, you know. It pretty much shit on Lord of the Rings, it shit on Twilight, it's probably going to shit on Hunger Games. It's a perfect ending to a 10 years of movies.
Yeah, I think that's the first of its kind. My number two film is 500 Days of Summer. Easily one of the best romantic comedy films of all time. Actually, one of the ones that kicked it kind of off as far as like the great romantic comedy films that we have today. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, this was his breakout role, if anything, mm-hmm. As far as the indie nuts starting to love him and stuff. 500 Days of Summer, man, that was just, it was so cleverly written, and we was talking about music earlier. This is actually the movie that had actually the best soundtrack on my whole list. I love the soundtrack that's into it. So fun, so such fucked up too, man. I'm not gonna lie, man. I was like, my god, man. Wow, what this movie did, man. Some of the shit it pulled, I was just like, and I remember when we did the show too, it brought out like some great conversations between men and women as well, you know. I know we was kind of shitting on women that day. And you know, women commented back on the site talking about, oh no, you see, you don't get it now. It's like, oh, okay. This is definitely a great conversational movie to have. Would you watch it with your girlfriend? Probably not. But I think it's easily one of the best romantic comedy films, if one of the best films ever made, too. It's I would say probably easily in one of my top 20s, just on the simple fact that it brings out that great conversation that you can have over it. Like, was Zoe Deschanel, was she right for what she did and stuff? And was Joseph Gordon-Levitt right for what he did and stuff? Because even though she told him, you know, what was going on, he still went along with it. So it's like, you know, you can't really fault her for that. If, you know, she kind of set you up for it, you still going along with it. But I thought it was a great dramatic tension, and the acting in it was just superb. And I had a good time just watching it. And I love a good movie where it starts off kind of with some hope. Things get exciting. And then kind of almost towards the end of the film, he's ready to kill himself. But then, you know, he kind of picks himself back up with that fine-ass girl, Autumn. She was much better than Summer. I mean, she was fine, see? I'm telling you, she was fine.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, I forgot her name, but she was fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, my number one movie...
Uh-oh, here we go.
...is 500 Days of Summer.
Oh! 500 Days!
And first time watching it was for the show, too.
Oh, and made it the number one
This, like, all the points you made, that's why I was so quiet, because it was my number one. You hit the nail on the head. This movie, I think it speaks more to the guys than the girls.
Yeah.
This is, like, because Mark Webb directed it, and if you don't know Mark Webb, he did Spider-Man's. Amazing Spider-Man's.
The crappy ones.
Well, not three.
Three was better than them two.
They was. So, you know, I think this was his first directing job.
Yeah, it was.
You know, great movie. It really is. You love, even though she friend zones him, the movie, just the chemistry between these two. Like, I think Zoe Deschanel is very underrated. As an actor.
You know, I should say, even though she friend zones him in the movie, I think that they're such great characters that you're excited for Joseph Gordon-Levitt and hoping that he can get her. I think that's what people think throughout this movie. It's just like, he's going to end up with her at the end of the film. And
I could be so wrong on this,
yeah.
But this could be a romantic drama for guys, not the girls. Because, you know, it's always a girl.
I was going to say, because this damn show ain't no comedy for us.
No, this is pretty much, this is real life for a guy. It really is. You don't get that movie. It's always a girl. It's always a girl as the lead.
You know, in the background, Zoe Deschanel didn't give two shits about Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No, she didn't. She friend-zoned him the entire movie.
And like that great conversation scene they had where she was just like, we're just friends. He's like, don't give me that shit. The shit that we've been doing, whatever, you know, is something more to us. She was just stringing him along, you know, because she was fucked up in her own mind saying, you know, I don't really know what I want, stuff like that. And then, oh my God, that great ending, too. That ending, man, where they sat on the bench together and she was just like, you know, here I am sitting up at a coffee shop reading the book, and then I found what I wanted in this guy that I didn't know what I wanted with you. I was like, oh, dude!
Yeah, especially, I think the biggest slap in the face, which I think is the biggest slap to any guy, is when she invites him to that party, and that's their engagement party. Because you can even, like, look at the poster. Like, he's going in for a kiss, her head is down. That speaks about the entire movie.
Oh, my God, dude, you're breaking my balls. Just breaking Z, you're hurting my heart right now. And, you know, you say it's good for guys. I think it's good for women to watch as well, just from her standalone point, because you're right. That whole bringing you to the party scene is because she friend zones him early in the movie, right, people? So you're thinking that, like, in her mind, she thinking that, oh, it's okay if I invite him to this party because, you know, we're just friends. Women, you need to watch shit like this and realize that if a guy's serious about you and you friend zone him, don't invite him to your fucking party.
Yeah, guys don't friend zone girls often.
We call you.
Yeah, we just pretty much toss you to the side.
Yeah.
I'm being honest here. Don't fucking send me fucking hate mail. I'm being completely honest here. Girls, they string guys along. And this movie not only freaking opens the door and exposes it to guys all around, it should expose it to women, too.
And in a way, what I like about that ending, too, as fucked up as that scene was when she told him that, man. I remember when we was describing that, man, I was like, damn, I felt like I got stabbed with a knife and shit. I'm not even dating this chick. Like, that is the worst thing you could tell somebody. It's like some shit like, it's like, damn, dude, that's a low blow. But one thing that I remember we talked about this too is what we liked about it is it brought goals out of Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It made him want it to be better, you know, and stuff. So I, in a way, she kind of helped him in a way. But you know, it's a very fucking clever movie and very really smart. And I think one thing which that episode did when we reviewed it is it brought out a lot of great conversations and opinions. I don't think nobody is wrong when they talk about this movie because I admire everyone's opinion about it and when they talk.
And that was Minka Kelly as Autumn.
Yeah. Minka Kelly.
And this not only is this probably one of the best movies, this was obviously the best movie we've done, it was probably one of the best, most talked about show because, like you said, it brought so much conversation.
Yeah. Other guys and girls going back and forth.
Like, if we had, say we had Sammy on that for that episode, that would have been a tremendous show because you got the girl's point and a guy's point.
Yeah.
That would have been an amazing show.
when this movie won, what was you expecting from it?
What was I expecting? I was expecting, you would think, it's a romantic comedy. Well, is it really more of a comedy or a drama?
It's a comedy. They got those comedic beats.
Okay.
It's a drama for us, yes. Yeah.
It's a horror movie for guys.
Yeah, it's just life.
You thought they were going to, at the beginning of the movie, you thought they were going to end up together.
Yeah, they're just going to hook up together, everybody lives happily.
And then it's a straight kick in the ball.
Yeah, oh my god, man, this movie kicked me in the ball so many goddamn times. I was just like,
It blue balls you, then it also breaks your balls.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing was, I remember we both said, man, we both been through that situation too. Joseph Gordon-Levitt care. I think every guy's been in that situation too.
Yeah, the guy says no, they're fucking lying.
They're fucking lying. They must not date a lot of chicks then or something like that, or never talk to them because they're fucking lying. And man, that shit was just, man, that movie was scary, just watching, just looking at it, just like, God, I feel like I'm revisiting when I was dating this bitch. Oh, man, that is a perfect number one choice, man.
I absolutely love that movie. I really did. I got to thank you for picking that movie, because I probably never would have watched it. But I, honest to God, thank you, because that movie was so great.
I want to say it was one of the first soundtracks I probably ever downloaded.
Oh, the music was great. I mean, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I think he was the one that played the songs, trying to get her interested.
Yeah. He was bringing up all the music and stuff like that. That was definitely he was bringing all the music stuff. And I love that scene where he was singing the song, too, when he got drunk and shit.
Yeah. And obviously, you had his friends were awesome. Matthew Gray Goobler and,
How they were useless and Chloe Grace Moretz was the one giving him advice and shit. I was like, damn, that's a goddamn shame.
Yeah, even Agent Coulson. He's in the movie.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about Coulson. That's right. Back from the dead. Yes.
Returns from the grave to be his boss.
And because Chloe Grace Moretz, people here, plays his sister in the movie. I can't remember now.
It was his sister.
Yeah, it was his sister and shit. And that's what guys will do. They're not going to go find other girls and shit like that. Talk to them. They're going to go to their little sister and get advice.
or older sister or someone, you know.
Yeah, shit. You ain't going to embarrass yourself talking to some chick about some shit like that or whatever. I love that movie, man. I fucking adore that movie like hell, man. That movie was just...
It's charming.
Really is. I said before, I said it, I don't think anyone's opinion on that movie is wrong. I think that it brings out some of the best conversations I've known to date about relationships and shit like that. Easily, if that movie was to come out every year, I would nominate it for an Oscar every year, because it still holds up today, even though it wasn't that long ago when Sale came out, but it still just holds up today. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt has proven to be the king of romantic comedies now.
Mm-hmm. Because you said, when we said it off air last week, we were talking, you said you watch that movie once a year, because I think we talked about, or once a month. Yeah. Do you still do that?
Yeah. Still watch it.
I don't know if I could watch it once a month. I think it's too much of a ball buster for me.
Yeah. And obviously, once again, San Diego's King Roman County, he knocked it out of the park with Don John again, too. What I love about Joseph Gordon-Levitt's romantic comedies is that he's not making them, you get the girl at the end and everybody lives happy and shit. He's putting some real life situations that's like, no, you may end up with the hot girl at the beginning, but things don't always work out to where I'm just like, yeah, that's real life. Yeah, that's realistic right there. Because everybody's thinking that, oh, he's going to change with Scarlett Johansson. He wants him to change. And he calls her out and be like, no, you know what? You just want me to change to be better for you. You don't want it for me. So, you know what? Fuck you. He kicked her to the curb. I was like, damn, shit. I think that's one. I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt really has a grasp of that, man. And I'd be excited to see another rom-com from him. I'm not even saying it just because he's my favorite actor. If anything, I would prefer to see him in another romantic comedy than any other film genre right now.
And I would like to see. I'm kind of with you on that. And if Zoe was the interest too, because their chemistry even was on point.
Oh yeah.
Really, like, that's why the movie's so good, is that you really think they're gonna freaking stay together.
Yeah, it really was. And oh, not to mention the narration at the beginning of the film, too. How it just, like, set both of those characters up, too.
Mm-hmm.
Telling the differences. That was, like, the perfect setup to these.
They were pretty much polar opposites.
Oh, definitely. They were fucking... It was funny, because as watching them as grown-ups, they seemed so similar at the beginning. And then, the longer the movie went on, you can see, like, slowly, like, wow, they really are just opposites. That was just, like, lightning at that one point. And that goes to show you, don't pick up chicks in a bar.
Exactly. Pick them up at work.
gonna work for the first night, but later on it ain't gonna work that well. So, yeah. but my number one film is a film we've already talked about too, and that's Hotel Rwanda.
Wow, number one.
Yeah, man, that movie really touched me. And plus, I had history with that story in general in the first place from reading all the books about it and stuff. Yeah, everything we talked about earlier is bar none, but I guess we can move on now to the worst of the list.
You want me to start it off?
Yes, kick us off with your number 10, Z.
Number 10 is United 93.
Only 10? I wonder where this will fall on my list.
I know it's on your list. I kind of figured. I remember a review.
It's on there.
I'm gonna say it's in the middle of the pack. But
where do you think it's at on my list?
I'm gonna say number 4. But we'll see.
We'll have to see when we get there.
We'll see. This was a rushed 9/11 movie.
Man.
That came out, I want to say, 5 years after the fact.
Yeah.
About a story that no one knows.
Was it 5 years after the fact?
I thought it was 2006 this came out. Let me look that up because I don't want to piss people off.
Yeah, let me look that up while you go ahead and talk. I think you're right, though.
2006, yeah. Nobody knows the story of what happened on the plane because obviously everyone died because the plane went down. So this was fiction. This was part fiction of what happened. And it was mostly, this is my last point, this was mostly a freaking airport movie.
Oh my god, dude. It was like that movie I told you I saw last year with Benedict Cumberbatch, the Wikipedia movie. I keep forgetting the name of it.
You mean the WikiLeaks movie?
Yeah, the WikiLeaks movie.
It didn't do that well.
Yeah, it sucked. It was fucking horrible because all these great stories about the WikiLeaks and all that stuff, and they choose to just pick them how they made it into this program and stuff. All you see is them typing behind a computer the whole time. You're just like, well, what is the story of it? What are you talking about and stuff? Like, same thing goes with this one. You just hear them calling out airplane shit, and you're just like, I don't know what any of this shit means.
You were talking about Fifth Estate.
Yeah, the Fifth Estate. Yeah, that one. It was the same problem I had with this one. And I felt like this one was just a fucking cash grab to grab off the morals of fucking the deaths of all these people and shit. Because everybody knows if you bring up 9/11 and something like that, people are going to be like, so dramatic or whatever. Those brave soldiers and stuff like that. It's just like, oh, God.
And this,
man, that goes for any tragedy as well.
And I remember when we were going back on the show that we freaking went off on Robert Ebert, who said this was the perfect movie and this was his top movies of, like, that year.
Robert Ebert's a fucking moron sometimes, I swear. I swear.
This was on the best list of a lot of people.
I know.
And I don't see it.
Fucking get it. And it's funny, this came out in 06, made the best of and everything. It was trying to make lists and shit like that. 6 years later, well, 8 years later now. 8 years later, no, you don't hear a single soul talk about this fucking movie.
You don't hear anybody talk about World Trade Center either.
No.
And that was Oliver Stone. That's a bigger director. This was Paul Greengrass.
Mm-hmm. So this was just a product of his time. Even when Paul Greengrass get brought up, like when he made his last movie and shit like that, what did people bring up? Bourne Legacy. They didn't bring up this shit.
No, they bring up the Bournes and they bring up Captain Phillips.
Yeah, exactly. This shit don't never get brought up, whatever. This was a product of his time. And that's sad to say because it was just fucking 8 years ago, so not that long ago or whatever. But it was a product of a time, cash grabbing off the misery of the death of all these people. And I hated the fucking... I did not think that when I rewatched this movie. I was like, wow, I thought I was going to say some noble American shit here. And instead, I'm saying fuck this guy and fuck this movie, man.
Now, if I remember correctly, neither one, World Trade Center or United, they didn't do that well, if I remember correctly.
No.
Because I think, I think World Trade Center came out 2 years after this. I think it's because you can't make a movie that close to such a tragedy.
No, it's definitely one of those where people are just like, I don't want to go see that. I don't want to go
exactly.
See
that. Exactly, we lived that. We lived it. Do you think people that lived during Pearl Harbor want to see Pearl Harbor? No.
Fuck you, 993. That's all that's. Fuck you. my number 10 is, and it's based off this whole franchise, too, because I can't stand it. That's the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, I know you hate this movie.
I fucking hate that franchise. I just wish it'd go away. I think we talked about this earlier with Harry Potter, how the franchise gets longer with this one. It goes longer. I'm just like, goddamn, just end already. You're not doing anything fucking new. You ain't doing nothing to cinema. You're not adding shit to it.
It's no, just... they're taking away, because the first Fast and Furious is about street racing, and then they pretty much just, after, I think, on Fast 4, or Fast and Furious, whatever the fuck it's called, the fourth one, they pretty much get away from the street racing. Now it's not even talking, Fast 6 and 5, I don't remember street racing.
Now it's just some B-level Oceans movie.
Yeah, which I enjoy Fast 5 and 6 because of the action, and The Rock was just awesome in it.
Yeah.
But Fast and Furious, it's so forgotten.
See, here's the thing about this franchise is, you just said it right there, it's forgettable, but one thing is that people enjoy the action scenes. I get that. Some of the people that enjoy the action scene, I know a lot of people that hate it, and know a lot of people that enjoy the action scene. People that enjoy the action scenes, they don't ever talk about these action scenes once that film is over. Once they've seen that film and it's over, these are one-shot movies that never get brought up once again.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they're just a waste of fucking space and time, and I feel like with great action movies such as The Raid, The Raid and Captain America, and some of the action scenes we've seen in some of these films and shit like that, this ain't helping set up the bar for action films, because action films is on a low, especially when that last Die Hard film came out. It was after that, man. It was a lot of action films coming out just that was just fucking horrible in their shots. And still, even some of the action scenes we see today, and Fast and Furious does not fucking help that shit at all.
No, I can't agree with you, even though I like 5 and 6. They're unrealistic to the max. Like, it's like, the first one, they really didn't have much action. It was more stuff on cars. Now they're jumping tanks, you know, Vin Diesel's jumping over the gap between two bridges, which is damn near physically impossible.
And they're selling the fucking action, too, because they even know damn well ain't these characters. Cause these characters are fucking horrible.
There's not much character development.
No.
I mean, you could throw in anyone, even someone off the street, like the crackhead. He could play Dominic Toretto.
Yeah, anybody, because all that motherfucker do is talk about is like, family. I fucking love it in that Chew trailer. I don't have friends. I have family. I'm just like, nigga, if you don't shut the fuck up with that shit, man, I swear to God. Oh my God. I'm so fucking tired of that shit. Jesus, man. Jesus fucking Christ. I'm so sick of fucking Dominic Toretto talking about his fucking family with these niggas that this nigga barely fucking knew until the fourth fucking movie.
It's true. He
fucking family shit.
He did not know Tyrese.
You know these fucking niggas and shit. And then Ludacris being a fucking computer genius? Jesus Christ, man. Shut the fuck up with that shit. Just shut the fuck up. Three movies is cool. You can bust out a stupid trilogy. Four, I think it's pushing it, but fine. Get the fourth one out in there. But fucking seven?
And it's going to be an eight?
It's going to be an eight and nine from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and then they offer Denzel a part. I'm like, no.
What the hell you make you think Denzel's going to say? That's the stupidest fucking thing. They must have got bold and said, hey, we got all this money. We're going to offer Denzel. Like, Denzel going to fucking... Denzel don't give a fuck.
That's selling out, and Denzel does not sell out.
Denzel don't want that shit. Come on now. What the hell would that look like with Denzel standing next to Ludacris?
I'm just trying to picture it.
You know what? Fuck it. This is number one. This is number one, man. This is the first fucking movie.
Well.
Jesus Christ.
I know you hated this movie. I know for a fact how much you hated this movie.
Oh, my God. I hate this franchise. I just want it to stop. Just fucking stop.
And you thought after Paul Walker died, it would stop.
I'm gonna stop now. His ass dead now. Shit. Don't nobody give a fuck about Paul Walker. All of a sudden, this nigga dies. It's like, oh, such a I can't wait to see the next Fast Furious now. It's like, oh my God, get the fuck out of here with that shit. Didn't nobody care about Paul Walker in this franchise?
No, because it's Vin Diesel.
I remember I was trying to back him up when this movie came out last year, saying, you know, I kind of miss that these movies ain't about Vin Diesel and Paul Walker. And people was giving me shit, talking about, oh, it's not about Paul Walker no more. Shit. This nigga dies all of a sudden. It's like, man, I'm going to miss him in the movie. No, you not.
Yeah. His brother's probably going to be in the movie more than he is.
That'd be fun. I think he's a better actor than him, too. Paul Walker sucks.
Yes, Nate, besides Varsity Blues, which I actually small role and he was okay, you can't think of another movie that he was, like, awesome in.
I don't think he was awesome in anything. I thought he sucked in everything. I don't like that guy.
Because he plays the same character. He plays the same character in a lot of shit.
Because he can't fucking get out in a range. That's why. Shit.
He doesn't.
No. What's your number nine?
My number nine, this might be a little surprise for you.
What's that?
Day of the Dead.
Not shocked that it's on the list. I probably would have expected lower, though.
Lower. I went... This was,
I thought it would have been, like, numbers. Probably six or five.
This was... the absolute worst of Romero's franchise. And that's included Diary and Survival, and I hated Survival.
Definitely was a disappointment reviewing.
This was, like... You know, back in the day, I watched it in the 80s when it came, I remember. And you watched it, I think, or it was like mid-90s, something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're thinking, oh, you know, zombie movies, you know, all that shit. Watching it now, like rewatching it, this movie kind of sucks. It's pretty much people in a bunker.
The movie was boring.
Exactly. This movie, like, think, this was the third one? Was the third one?
Because
it went Night, Dawn, Dead, right? Or Day, right?
I want to say this was the second. No, I think, yeah, you're right. I think it was the third one. I can't remember now.
Because Dawn of the Dead, classic. Awesome movie. Night of the Dead, awesome movie.
Classic, yeah.
Yes.
When I remember when we was doing this one, I was excited. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, you think, you know, he went from Night of the Living Dead to Dawn of the Dead, which is, you know, a huge step up. And a lot of people's opinions, they say Night's better, but I think Dawn's better as a story. I think Dawn's better as a story.
I think Dawn is, too.
And then you go Day, and Day's doesn't. It's got, you got pointless characters. You got the most cliche villain, the army guy, in the world. Horrible zombie attacks. It's this movie's just. I can see why this one's the most forgettable one out of his original three franchise.
Conflict that just felt forced.
Exactly.
I didn't feel a goddamn thing for nothing. The only thing I got out of enjoyment in this was just watching a zombie shoot a gun. That was it.
And even Bob. That's
like me stretching, just like trying to find something to enjoy out of it, too. Because I didn't give a fuck about the story that was going on in this film.
No, this is seriously, it's like you are so bored. And how hard is it to be bored in a zombie movie? Well, you watch mine, so...
Yeah! No, I was going to say, dude, I don't have this on my list, but hearing you bring it up, though, it was probably the most disappointing movie we reviewed on this.
I think it's the biggest surprise because how disappointing. I think it's because of how disappointing it was.
Yeah, because we both, like you just said, we both haven't seen this movie in almost damn near 20 years now, if not more than that, actually. And it was our first time going back to seeing it and then watching it, going, oh my God.
I've gotten arguments with people on message boards about this movie. They're like, oh, Day of the Dead, so underrated. I'm like, why?
There's a reason why it's underrated.
Like, the only thing people remember about Day of the Dead is Bob.
Yeah, he's on the cover.
He's on the cover. That's the only way people remember this movie. But everything besides Bob, the movie is freaking boring as hell, and like, I'm with you, you get characters, you don't give a shit if they live or die. And they try to make this female... The girl, you know, like someone you're supposed to care about, you don't.
She's fucking useless.
She's kind of a bitch.
And they spend all fucking, the whole movie in a fucking bunker.
Yeah, I think
what it was trying to do is what Walking Dead does, and it was like trying to show you that the movie is more than just a zombie film by showing that it's all about the character drama and shit like that. But the drama in here is so fucking boring. It's just people getting angry at each other for no fucking reason.
Yeah, and you had in Night of the Living Dead, you have them trapped in the house, but
yeah.
You had characters that you hated, like Cooper, and then you still had the zombies. Dawn of the Dead, you like all four characters, but the bikers come in and shit goes to shit.
Yeah.
It's just take out the zombies, you got the worst movie probably of all time.
Oh, one of the most boring ones, that's for damn sure.
Exactly. No, I seriously hate this movie. It just irks me.
That's why I thought it would have been lower on your list. I thought it would have been like fucking number six or five.
No, I got worse.
Okay, it can get worse than that. Well, my number nine is something you just brought up actually a little earlier. Pinocchio's Revenge.
Yep.
This was probably up there with Day of the Dead because not a goddamn thing in this movie happens. And then I remember that shit at the ending, dude. I remember I wish I we would have been on camera, because you would have saw me looking at you. It's like, what I asked you in that review, was they trying to set up that this really happened, or was this all just mentally happening in her head or whatever, and that none of this was real? And I was like, because if that's true, this was a fucking poor job of delivering that. It really was. I was like, wow. I was like, something like that, like a thriller mystery of that psychological thriller, you should be hitting the beats very hard or whatever. And here, this is probably the weakest fucking psychological thriller I've ever fucking seen in my life. I was like, wow, this shit was fucking poor. And then not to mention, we make that joke all the time about Chucky the doll coming in, how the fuck he taking down grown-ass human beings and shit like that. How the fuck is this wooden doll taking down human beings and shit? Once again, is it happening, or is this all in this little girl's head? We don't fucking know, because we've never seen them together and shit. And the way it ends, it fucking leaves you on a cliffhanger as if you, like, oh, like they want you to fucking think about this shit like it's Christopher fucking Nolan's. Like, they want you to seriously fucking think up here and go, like, I wonder if it was her or the doll. It's like, don't nobody gonna fucking think about this shit.
They want to forget about it.
Like, that's like damn near insulting or whatever. Just like saying, like, hey, won't you, hey, think about it now. Who did it? It's like, no, fuck you. Fuck you, Pinocchio. I got no strings attached to me, too, to kick you in the ass.
That's on my list. We'll discuss it more when it comes to it.
My number eight
is Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Horrible franchise. Is it a franchise when there's two?
I fucking don't know.
Thank God Chris Evans, rejuvenated his career.
Marvel makes your career, man, I tell you.
This is a Marvel movie, technically.
It's a Fox movie, technically, but,
yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. And Fox and X-Men.
Man, Fox need to let fucking, I swear, they let superheroes go. I swear, man. Can any other studio do fucking superhero films, please? I mean, Jesus.
We're going to see a Lionsgate superhero film now.
Okay, never mind. I take that back now. I don't want that to happen. Never mind. Wait, they already do a superhero franchise. It's called Expendables.
Oh, that is New Line.
Yeah, that's Lionsgate.
Or Lionsgate, I'm sorry.
Yeah. They're superheroes, right?
This movie is just... This is more of a comedy, just based on because the action, because, you know, you have four characters who... You get the origin story in the first one, and it looks like their chemistry is worse this one, and I don't understand. That could be ego. That could be Alba's ego. You know, Michael Chiklis was still doing the Shield, I believe, at the time.
Yeah,
he was becoming a big star. Evans was still young.
Oh, he was like Hollywood's go-to guy at this point.
Oh, he was like Bill Murray. He's taking everything.
Oh yeah, he was taking everything. He was in everything.
Ian Guffaw, whatever his name was. I think he's known for more small roles, but
yeah, he did a lot of TV too.
You got Silver Surfer, who's a lot of people know in the world. A lot of comic book people, they love Silver Surfer. He was so fucking wasting Parallax or whatever it was.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. This movie is worse than Batman and Robin. It's worse than Batman Forever. It's worse than any bad superhero film you could ever fucking imagine. This movie did the ultimate sin of not fucking up one villain, not two villains, but it fucked up three heavy hitters in the Marvel Universe. And I'm talking about books altogether. It fucked up Doctor Doom, Silver Surfer, and goddamn Galactus. How do you have a property where you own Galactus, the eater of worlds, one of the biggest fucking villains of all time, DC and Marvel, whatever, any other studio too, and you turn that nigga into a cloud with a silhouette in the background. And you don't turn it into epic proportions, though. It's like, how can you have someone as big as Galactus and Doctor Doom in the same fucking movie, and you do nothing with them?
I think they just had Doctor Doom. I just think they had Doom in there just to fucking,
fulfill that contract of the actor that played him?
Yeah, Washington, I think. I'm not sure. Julian Washington. I think they just had a tie in from the first one. That's the only thing I can think of. He was
the ultimate sin. Fox did the ultimate sin it does with all his fucking movies. Once again, a team movie where there's no team. It's like, they own two of the biggest team franchises with X-Men and the Fantastic Four, and yet they just can't get that formula down on how to work a team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get what Fox's problem with that. Maybe they need to stay the fuck away from team movies? Maybe Fox and Sony should switch. Give Sony Spider-Man, why don't you go to Fox, and then how about X-Men and Fantastic Four, you go to Sony. Let's see how each other one would do with each other property, because we just fucking around with these characters now. We're not taking them serious at all no more.
And Fox is doing the remake, correct?
Yes, they are. They still own the rights.
Who is the most questionable casting of all?
Oh, man, this movie is sounding like this movie is the most baffling movie of 2015 that's coming out, because all the news that keep coming out on it, I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ, man. They turned Dr. Doom into an internet blogger.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, apparently he gets his name, Doom. It's not because he rules a country or nothing like that. He gets that name because that's his blogging name.
That's the thing.
Don't die, Z. I know that's horrible.
That's the thing that's pissed me off in movies, is that they're bringing social media into all these movies nowadays.
And which is fine. It works in some films. Like Kick-Ass, it can work or something like that. So it works in some films, social media and shit like that. But in Fantastic Four, how do you turn one of the biggest, baddest villains of all Marvel and DC superheroes, and you turn him into a fucking angry internet blogger?
So was he a kid?
That's what I'm curious about. It's like, is he supposed to be fucking playing a teenager? Because Reed Richards is playing one.
Yeah, he is.
Fucking Miles Taylor is, like, younger than me.
Yeah, he's true. I think Kate Mara's... No, she's not that. She's, like, 30, I think.
Yeah, I think she's pushing 30.
And Michael's 23, I think.
I think he's my age, and I think he's 26.
And I can't think,
Miles Taylor is, like, 24, I think.
I can't think who's, Jamie Bell, right?
Jamie Bell, yeah.
I think he's 30.
Yeah, he's 30. Okay. Ben Grimm and him are best friends and shit, yet they 6 years apart. Okay.
So, Team Shredder...
You heard it there, folks.
Team Shredder.
Oh my god, man. My number 8 is Daddy Daycare.
Okay.
What the fuck was there to talk about in this movie? Like, when we watched this movie, what a goddamn thing to talk about this movie.
I don't know.
Good point, man. Goddamn Eddie Murphy and Bill Murray. My God, have their careers been similar in some ways? Jesus. And Daddy Daycare, man, that was added to the stench of helping fuck Eddie Murphy's career up even more.
Yeah, because he did Nash first, right?
Pluto Nash. Oh, Jesus Christ. That movie was... Oh, God. And then he ended it with Norbit. That's a classic.
This movie, I can't believe it spawned the fucking sequel.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh god.
With Cuba.
We were making fun of that poster on there. I was like, good lord, Cuba, you was just one of the best films of the 2014. How the fuck did you reduce yourself to this?
Yeah. This movie, I wanna say it's forgettable.
It is fucking forgettable because I don't remember a goddamn thing about it. I just remember I fucking hated this movie.
This was the start of sellout Eddie Murphy.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This was like the final draw where he's just like, yep, he ain't getting no better than this, because this was like his third bad movie in a row.
Yep, they got Thousand Words, Haunted Mansion.
Oh, Jesus, fucking fuck me in the asshole. Yeah, you're right.
And you love Thousand Words, I know that.
Oh, man, I love it so goddamn much.
You secretly watch it every day.
Yeah, I love it so fucking much, man. I love Eddie Murphy that he can't talk yet he's still annoying. That's a talent. See, you didn't know that? It's talent.
That could work with some actors, not Eddie Murphy.
Not Eddie Murphy, goddammit. What's your number 7, Z?
Number 7 is Jack Frost.
Damn, I forgot we did that.
I was kind of skeptical on putting this on there because I think they knew it was going to be bad. You know what I mean? This is kind of like Sharknado. Like, we know this is going to suck. This movie's just... It was a pun.
PG-13, too?
This was a movie... Yeah, because Shannon Elizabeth doesn't get naked in it. She does, but you don't see nothing.
I remember we was talking shit about the Jack Frost's dialogue or something like that.
It's a pun. This movie's a pun. That's all it is. I can see your house from here.
Oh God! Oh, geez. You're right. Yes. Okay. Now I remember. I'm trying to remember. I'm just like, oh no, that was a rated R film. And why did he? What the fuck? God, I remember Jack Frost. He had some of the worst fucking dialogue. Like he was keeping it so PG. It was just like the only thing that made it rated R had to be the blood. And they label this movie as a comedy in this genre. Comedy and fantasy. It's a goddamn fantasy, all right.
And I don't remember. This was 97. I don't remember if this movie got, because there's an R movie, Jack Frost, that came out either the year before or a year after this. The Michael Keaton. Yeah. Yes. Which people get confused on, surprisingly.
Yeah, they got the same fucking name.
Exact same name. Different plots. Well, somewhat.
Yeah, you know what? This one came out a year after, I believe, because I remember it came out in 98.
So, I mean, yes, Michael Keaton turns into a snowman, but he doesn't go killing people. I can't remember if this had a theatrical release or this was a straight-to-DVD.
Yeah, because I saw it the year it came out, but I remember seeing it at... I saw it at home.
Me too. So I think this got a straight-DVD.
Yeah, I can't recall neither. I'd probably have to look that up somehow, but I can't recall if it did. But I remember laughing at this movie when I first saw it. Now looking back at it, I'm just like, wow, I didn't remember the lines being that goddamn bad.
This is a great comedy.
It's a great concept. I'll give it that. It's funny to make fun of.
It is.
It would have been funnier to make fun of had the Michael Keaton one came out first, though.
It'll be like a spoof, then. It'll kind of be like a disaster movie.
Yeah. Kind of like Abraham Lincoln Vampire or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's something like... This is like straight Sci-Fi Channel Sharknado bullshit. You know what I mean? You know, Sharknado's awesome for how stupid it is. This is just... stupid.
Terrible.
It is. This is people remember this movie. People because of how stupid it is.
I think it's more memorable than the Michael Keaton one.
I think it is too.
Yeah, just how stupid it is. My number seven is Batman Forever.
that was a fun show.
In my opinion, the worst fucking Batman movie ever fucking made.
That's a strong statement with Batman Robin.
Batman Robin is, he made a cartoon, and he could achieve that. Batman Forever, they tried to take that shit serious, and then look what we got here. We got a bigger fucking cartoon than one fucking Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin is a cartoon just based on the fucking actors itself.
Mm-hmm.
They added a lot more actors to it that are fucking ridiculous, that don't fit the roles perfectly. And it just had some of the worst fucking dialogue ever and shit. Batman Forever had the complete opposite of that, where they had the least amount of actors, and yet it tried to be fucking story-driven, and with that stupid-ass fucking origin story that they tried to... That's gotta be the worst fucking origin story I've ever seen, where it made no goddamn sense with fucking Nicole Kidman talking to damn Val Kilmer about this fucking black-and-white doll. And I'm thinking that was a hint, like the Joker card to the Dark Knight, that was a hint for the sequel of Batman and Robin what's his name, of Drew Barrymore character in that black bitch.
Sugar and Spice?
Sugar and Spice, whatever. That's what that doll was about. It was about Sugar and Spice. Joel Schumacher was letting you know, hey, a sequel's coming based on this doll right here. I've never fucking seen some insult shit like that. That was just fucking beyond insulting. I was like, Jesus Christ, man. Talk about taking a creative license and not giving a fuck. Mm. And then, oh my God, another thing too is, Batman and Robin, you can at least laugh at some of the stupid shit. Batman Forever was so fucking boring. Oh my God, Val Kilmer was a boring ass Bruce Wayne. I can't remember the last time I seen a boring ass Bruce Wayne like that. He was so deadpan and dry throughout the whole fucking film, just mumbling and shit like his goddamn mush mouth and shit.
He, as Bruce Wayne... Not bad, you know.
Oh, don't even get me started. You remember the scene where that it's like, oh, let's solve the riddle. Why do you need to solve the riddle? There's a big ass question mark in the sky. Just go follow that shit. And then Commissioner Gordon, his lazy ass, who doesn't do shit with his whole fucking franchise, he's sitting in the background talking about, shut it down, I guess he's not coming. Then he see the bat plane fly by, and Val Kilmer, you can tell this nigga was on a green screen. With that slow ass turn he did and giving the thumbs up, I was like, Jesus, somebody fucking in this movie already, man. This shit is embarrassing. Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey going at it, that was even more fucking embarrassing. I've never seen a worse villain compared to I saw with Two-Face. Two-Face, that was some embarrassing shit right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because I think we brought up in the review, you go from Two-Face being the main villain to a fucking sidekick. And we know for a fact from the comic books, Two-Face is not a sidekick.
Fuck, is he a sidekick? And then the Riddler, he was a... Man, that was shit.
That was cartoon.
Riddler personally would have fit better in fucking Batman and Robin as that shit was going on, because my God, man, he was just flamboyant and out there like a motherfucker. And none of his riddles made any goddamn sense, neither. It was no purpose for them whatsoever in there, neither. I was just like, how does it... What difference does it make if you know it's Jim Carrey or not? It's a motherfucker that's causing crime, just stop him. You don't need to fucking know that. Like, that had to be the most boring-ass detective work I've ever seen in a Batman film.
Is this detective work figuring out the riddles?
I guess that is, yeah.
And he ain't Alfred. Alfred knew him before Wayne.
And then what did he say? Edward Nigma. I know it's Edward Nigma. Okay, let's try out the prototype suit. Why the fuck do you have a prototype suit?
They always do. They always
do. And then he adopts this grown-ass man, too, by the way. And Robin, if you want to fucking call him now, he's just like, how the fuck do you adopt a 21-year-old? How the fuck is that even pop? Like, why? I don't get that. Like, I seriously didn't fucking get that. It was baffling the shit out of me with that. And then the dialogue scenes at the end of the film, when they were climbing that fucking rocket shit, I was just like... Oh, dear God. Oh, my God.
This seemed like a sequel to the Batman movie, the TV show movie.
Yeah, like, he was trying to pay, a homage to the original. It was last, like, you don't go from the serious tone that you try to portray to fucking comedy to a homage now.
Yeah, see, they did that in this. They did that.
At least Batman and Robin, which I think is fucking second horrible or whatever and shit, that one had a fucking tone throughout the damn film. It was goofy and stupid throughout the whole fucking film. This one, it was a tone all over the damn place.
You never knew what type of movie... And actually, you don't know what type... It changed every freaking scene. Every scene changed. You get a freaking shoehorned romantic interest with Nicole Kidman and Val Kilmer.
Oh my God, so shoehorned.
We use that term a lot, but it's true. And then you got, you know... You throw in Robin, what, an hour into the movie?
No point.
Out of nowhere. It, seriously, him come. Robin came out of nowhere. That's like Batgirl.
Oh, yeah, it really fucking. It's like, why? Like, and why is Alfred approving of this shit? But that just goes to show you how much of a threat that Gotham is in this town or whatever. It's not a threat at all if Robin is. I mean, if Alfred is just making costumes for fucking kids that come in this house now. He's just like, yeah, go have fun. Yeah, go do it. Leave me alone.
And you got to question Riddler's freaking plan due to the fact of he was just taking people's thoughts and ideas. Is that really, like, a crime compared to what Two-Face was doing?
Oh, my God. Like, yeah, who gives a shit? Don't even get me started. Harvey, I'm Batman.
And no one around him could hear that?
I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Alright, well, yeah, I'm with you. Fuck Batman Forever.
Yeah.
My number six is one we just discussed a little bit ago, Pinocchio's Revenge.
Oh, okay.
I think this was like a Showtime-made movie. I really think, because I think it was, because I remember watching it on there like a long time ago.
Yeah.
This movie, you don't know what this movie is.
It was probably a Cinemax film.
No, I meant you don't know what this movie is. You don't know if it's a horror, if you don't know if it's a psychological thriller. Did they try the whole, yeah, like, others type thing? You don't know.
Same thing like Jack Frost.
Yeah, you don't know what type of movie this is.
I think it had a cool concept, you know, taking... I told you in the review, I like concepts like that, like, because they're not meant to be serious, and it's just, like, goofy fun and shit like that, but this one was so fucking boring, just like Jack Frost, it just sucks the soul out. It's like, they don't take the liberties of going to the extreme and shit. It's like, it's funny how the big blockbusters know how to go to the extreme and say, fuck it, but when you get to something where you're making fun of something like Abraham Lincoln, Vampire, or Jack Frost turning him into a killer, or even Pinocchio making him a killing doll, he's just like, if you're gonna do that, then go balls all out, then.
Yeah, and he all of a sudden he turns to a psycho killer after he gets his strings cut.
Click my strings, and I can be a real boy.
And I love the little. That's pretty much what he said. And then they throw in the whole Jiminy Cricket thing. And there they.
Jesus Christ! Remember when he threw the rake down too, and the bitch fell over, and the bus ran over, and shit.
She didn't die.
Come on now, it's like. Or you're trying to send a message anyway, because everybody knows that the bus is too goddamn high to run anybody over anyway, so it's like, okay.
What was the point of doing that scene then?
And then how she gets so hurt then, too. Exactly. She just tripped over a fucking bike.
Stupid movie. And I know, it's the reason why it's higher than Jack Frost, because I think it tried to take itself seriously than Jack Frost.
Because it tried to make a thriller out of it?
It tried to make a story out of it.
Try to make a fucking story out of it. They ended it with putting the little girl in a psychological war and just ended it by looking into the doll's eyes. How many times did they show that fucking shot, too, just looking into the doll's eyes?
Too many.
That was just like, man, ain't nothing going on with that damn doll, okay? That was another thing. It was like, by the time it got to the end of the movie, you was just like, I don't give a fuck if this doll is real or not. Just something needs to happen, okay?
And I think we discussed at the review, we don't know what country this movie was made from. Because I saw it from, like, looking on IMDb, I remember I saw it was, like, France or something.
I thought it was, like, Norway or something like that.
It might have been, because I remember the nanny was, like, foreign.
Yeah, she was French, yeah.
So, I don't know, this movie is so terrible. And not in a good way. This thing is, like, seriously up to your knees. This little doll, and it's freaking killing people.
It's up to you. I remember he was beating down the door and shit. I'm just like, man, come on now. I mean, this even the meat being short, that motherfucker's like, yeah, come on now. What in the hell is this dog gonna do? All you gotta do is just fucking take a knife to his ass, whatever, and just start pulling. He can pull his goddamn arms and legs apart or whatever. Take him by his fucking strings and shit. This was released in the Netherlands.
Yeah, okay. I figured something like that.
Jesus Christ, the plot synopsis is stupid as fuck up here. Well, my number six is a popular video game and a popular video game movie. That would be Max Payne.
This was our first change in the voting, too. The fans picked this
and
one.
And it was our first video game movie.
Mortal Kombat.
That don't count as a video game. No, I was playing. Where do I start with this? Talk about, I think what made my list a lot is just, a lot of these, especially so far, it's just, I've been bored by these movies. Fast and Furious, Pinocchio's Revenge, Daddy Daycare, Batman Forever, Max Payne. I've never been so fucking bored. I've never been so more baffled at a video game movie as to a simple concept of a man looking for revenge. A cop looking for revenge for the death of his family. And then watching this movie, I'm thinking, like, well, they can't fuck this movie up because that's just simple. You just do a guy in a revenge story. Nothing to it.
Kind of like that Mel Gibson movie. Something like Edge of Darkness or whatever.
They took the most simplest fucking story and complicated the fuck out of it with some of the worst actors I've ever seen in Hollywood. Ludacris.
But he's a fucking detective. A head detective.
It is too soon to put that brother in a fedora and a trench coat and make us believe that this nigga is a fucking detective. I'm sorry. This nigga is a computer hacker, a detective. I'm just like...
You know what? Ludacris has the best agent in the world.
I'm just saying, he has the greatest fucking agent ever to get this nigga roles that nobody fucking believes in. You might as well get goddamn T.I. as his partner.
That's like Tara Reid. I think it's Alone in the Dark. Tara Reid being a scientist.
Oh, Jesus. Damn, I know scientists all over the world is insulted now. Jesus Christ, man. This is like some drug shit where you take it and apparently it makes Mark Wahlberg breathe fire out of his goddamn nose.
They made it like a supernatural movie because they said
Angels and Demons meet Constantine.
Exactly. They kind of said, like, the main bad guy, who wasn't the main bad guy.
He was horrible anyway.
Was, like, this massive drug pusher that was, like, the devil. And he gets his ass kicked.
But why did they do that? Like, seriously.
And it was all freaking, it was fucking Betty. I can't think of his name. Bo Betty. Bo Bridges, I mean.
I've never been so baffled watching a movie. And then, oh my god, the action scenes were so shot horrible. You remember that slow motion scene where he's pumping that shotgun back when he shot? Just like, man, you gonna shoot these niggas or not? What's going on here?
And I think we brought it up in the review. Mila Kunis just fucking vanishes.
Fucking vanishes, disappears under me. She's like, man, fuck this movie. They do nothing with her. And they had that same bitch in this movie.
In every Russian movie, forget a Russian character, it's her.
Yeah,
Olga. It's Olga, isn't it? I think she's a model.
Some shit like that. Yeah, she just loves video game shooting movies, apparently, because she's in all of them.
And she plays the same exact character as everyone.
Same exact character. She's laying in bed by taking her clothes off. Yep, the same character.
Yeah, Olga Kulenko.
Yeah, she was in Hitman doing the same thing she's doing in this film.
That's all she's good for.
Oh my god, apparently she ain't good for that either because the video game character don't never sleep with her, so.
If you look at her resume.
That bitch must got a dick or something.
If you look at her resume, she has a lot of bad movies.
Oh hell yeah, whatever. I'm telling you, man, she must have fucked somebody in Hollywood and they found that she had a dick. That's why everybody keep running from her and she keep getting this crappy ass job assignment, man. I've never seen a movie this baffling as Max Payne before. You take something as simple as that shit, a revenge story, and turn it into some Constantine meets Angels and Demons shit, and you just blew it up to a level where it was just like, it didn't make no goddamn sense. And Ludacris, that nigga was just horrible. That has got to be one of the worst actors in fucking Hollywood right now. First of all, the nigga is unbelievable. And this nigga was looking like he was goddamn Bo Bridges throughout the whole fucking film and shit like that. I was like, Jesus Christ, just team him up with Alex Cross, Tyler Perry.
Just don't give him any ideas.
Ludacris might find that to be a gold mine or whatever. And fuck that movie.
No, it's a... Max Payne's like... I think it's on the list... I think it's on the list of, like, worst video game movies of ever.
It's on mine.
It's on, like, Super Mario Brothers, Mortal Kombat 2.
I think it's worse than Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers, I'm just like, how the fuck would you make that into a movie anyway? I was like...
Fucking King Koopa. King Koopa, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Why the fuck would you even want to make a movie of that? But Max Payne, something as simple as that, I know about taking your creative license to the tool, but god damn, dude, you went far out of the stretch to get that plot.
Mm-hmm.
So number five, Z.
Halfway there.
Halfway mark. We almost there.
Green Lantern.
Ooh, my biggest disappointment ever.
And Green Lantern, very cool character. He really is.
One of my favorite DC characters.
Parallax. I think it's on point with what you said in Silver Surfer. He's just a cloud.
No, I was saying about Galactus.
Galactus, but they're similar.
No, they're not similar at all. You wouldn't know that from watching these movies, though. That's for damn sure, because they pretty much just turn them.
That's what I meant. Clouds. That's what I meant. Ryan Reynolds, not the best casting choice for a lead superhero.
That's the thing is, too, I thought Ryan Reynolds was fine as Green Lantern, but Ryan Reynolds, I don't know about that guy. That dude is having such the worst fucking luck or whatever. He's not doing good with limited releases. He's not doing good with big releases. He's not doing good with cameos. That dude is just... Somebody must have... Scarlett Johansson must have hexed his ass.
Yeah, and I think that his only big hit was that Sandra Bullock movie.
Damn, how long ago was that?
2010, I believe.
Jesus Christ.
That's his only...
He just had a limited... He had a small film that just came out last week, and it did horrible. Like, fucking critics chewed that shit up.
And he's Deadpool. He's gonna be in the Deadpool movie.
That, man, that is like his last hope.
Which I kind of see. I don't know if you saw that little 5-minute trailer they did.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's not bad. I mean, his voice kind of plays off Deadpool.
I'm going to tell you this right now, people, you're probably not going to get this, but that's 5 fucking minutes, okay? Anybody can make 5 minutes work to anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can make wiping your ass work for 5 minutes. that don't mean the whole goddamn movie is good. Because I know a lot of people are dying to see this Deadpool movie. Talking about, oh, look how great that 5 minute trailer or that preview was. And I'm just looking at that like, yeah, but that ain't 2 hours. Because Green Lantern was over 2 hours, and I can pinpoint about 5 minutes out of this film that I like, that they probably showed in the fucking trailer. Oh, wait, they did. And then watching this movie, I don't recall getting any of the feeling I got from that 5 minute trailer I saw.
No. And they left it open for a sequel, which we're never going to see.
Thank fucking God. But you know what? No, you know what? Personally, I think that in order to just go on about things, instead of just rebooting shit, I say you just pick up with that second where this one left off. And then, keep same actor shit, pick up with it, and just get better writers.
True, it could have been the writing. Obviously, it was the length, because the dialogue was terrible, too.
It was fucking the writing, whatever. You take Sinestro, the main villain of the fucking Green Lantern Corps, who should have been the villain of this fucking film, and you blow it off somehow, and then you make him put on the ring for no fucking reason. It was like no goddamn reason whatsoever. Like in the comic books, there's a reason why, it's because he becomes power hungry and he wants to stop the Guardians and shit like that. There was not one sense of that in this whole fucking movie.
Mm.
So his motivation was weak. Green Lantern in himself, he's always bitching and complaining, and then he does the stupidest fucking thing. He gets the most powerful weapon in the world, and what does he do? He leaves the planet and goes to Earth to ask the two fucking human friends he got, what should I do? What the fuck do you mean, what should you do?
Mm-hmm. And freaking...
You're lucky I wasn't his friend, because I'd have told him, what the fuck do you mean, what you should do? You turn into that fucking green bastard, and you go fly and fight things, shit.
And Hector Hammond.
Oh, but that was a joke. That was a goddamn joke. That's the only reason why that's not on my worst list, because that was hilarious. That was some funny shit right there.
Peter Sarsgaard...
He rolled out that wheel...
He's a good actor. He really is. This is obviously his probably worst role. He probably just, like, saw a comic book movie at the time, because comic book movies was the trend at the time in 2011. And he's like, oh, I'll do it.
It was coming up.
Yeah. He's like, I'll do it. The dude's a fucking fantastic actor. Completely wasted. Kind of like Mark Strong, who I love Mark Strong.
That dude came out in a wheelchair talking about, hi, Hal. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What in the hell is this? That makes no damn sense.
The only bright spot of the movie.
I hate the writing. The writing
was terrible.
It was fucking horrible, man. It was fucking horrible.
The lone bright spot of the movie was Blake Lively. I was just looking at her because she's gorgeous.
I want to say, I don't think any of the casting choices are wrong. I think all the casting it could have been better with the writing, but my God, man, they sucked the fucking soul out of Green Lantern. And then the best parts of this whole goddamn movie was the space scenes, and they go absolutely nowhere. It's like Green Lantern is a space superhero, and you ground him to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then your biggest plan to stop him is, oh, the sun. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Nobody ever fucking thought about this?
If I'm looking at it correctly, they had 4 writers for screenplay, and he had 3 for screen story, which I don't know the difference.
Yeah.
4 writers. One writer. Four. You need one writer.
And then the movie starts off with Ryan Reynolds. It seems like he's going to be that cocky Hal Jordan. And then after that first 10 minutes, he's just a whiny bitch.
And Ryan Reynolds pretty much played every character as Hal Jordan. At the beginning, every character he's ever done.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Once that plane goes down and he was on, which, by the way, was his fucking fault, because if he knows he's going to have fucking flashback and drama problems or whatever and shit, why the fuck would he put that photo up there then?
Mm-hmm.
Of his father. Why the fuck would he put that there if he knew he's going to have some problems with that? So don't put shit like that up there if you know you're going to have fucking problems and shit. Right before that scene, I thought we was going to have that cocky Hal Jordan that we knew, and then who became more responsible once he realized the responsibility he had with that ring. Nah, we just get this whiny, mopey-ass little bastard throughout the whole fucking movie. And then even when he gets the ring, he's just afraid of every goddamn thing. I was like, they might as well just got fucking Steve Urkel to play fucking Green Lantern.
I could see that.
There was, like, never not one point in this movie where, like, you got to explore space from Ryan Reynolds' eyes as if he was excited or something like that. They're like, anybody that would have got this kind of opportunity or whatever, they'd have been constantly with their mouth open the whole movie. But Ryan Reynolds played it so goddamn deadpan and shit. It was just like, wow, man, you don't seem that interested at all in what's going on here.
Yeah, the story was all over the place.
And, like, do you even fucking take this threat serious? Like, you got a fucking creature coming to Earth to devour the whole fucking planet, and you talking to human beings asking them what you should do. What in the fuck do you mean, what should you do? You got two options. You get that little ring and you fly away to another fucking planet and never see these people ever again. Or your other fucking option is, you've got the most powerful weapon in the damn universe. Use it. Stop being such a fucking scary ass and shit. So it's funny, you can use that goddamn ring to create a fucking racetrack to fucking save the woman you love, but you can't use it to save her from fucking aliens and shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the shit he picked for using the ring during the fight was kind of a joke. Mm-hmm. That's why the writing was all over the place. I'm kind of with you. I think...
You know what, that's probably the only thing I'll defend from the movie. I know a lot of people, everybody has problems with that too. The only thing I can say about that is, they said in the movie, he's an earthling. Earthlings, they don't have creative imaginations and shit. That's mm-hmm. pretty much what the power of the ring is. The shit he did make, I agree, is weak as fuck. But this nigga didn't have no imagination to begin with. So it's like, I agree with everyone that's saying the shit he made was weak, but I kind of defend him in a way by saying, shit, he didn't know what the fuck he was doing anyway. Sinestro told him that. That construct's a...
I kind of wish they would have stayed on the planet and not come to Earth. Do you think this is the most probably poorly written superhero movie?
No, it has some points in there that I like, but just the space scenes, the OA scenes. I know the most poorly ones of the day was the Amazing Spider-Man 2. That was fucking poorly written.
Okay.
I was just like beyond. That was taking me back to some Batman Forever shit with the Riddler. that was hitting me back. I personally think Green Lantern is better than Man of Steel too. So,
I would say due to the fact of that, Ryan Reynolds had more personality and charisma than Superman. Yeah.
You wouldn't know that because fucking Henry Cavill is constantly just looking up into the sky with no goddamn dialogue for the whole goddamn movie. So,
and he yells no.
Yeah, that's it. The motherfucker don't do shit. So yeah, and plus the effects look better in Green Lantern. You couldn't see a goddamn thing in the fucking Man of Steel.
It's true. Oh, it's true.
That's some funny shit. All the goddamn CG that was going on in Green Lantern, yet I could see that ring make all kind of objects, but I couldn't see two people fight in the air.
It was like, what, 95% CG movie?
Jesus Christ, man. The fucking costume was even CG, and I could see that better than...
Yeah, I think that was kind of a joke, too.
My number five film is Insidious.
You hate this movie.
What can I say about this? Was the film that were the horror one was bad for me, because this is the one people said was the scariest horror film they've ever seen. What I gotta say to you people is, did you leave your fucking brains at the goddamn doorsteps where you walked into this movie or what? Because goddamn, I never met so many moronic people before until this movie came out.
The movie brainwashed people.
Yeah, and I just insulted almost about 85% of the audience right now, but I'm fine with that because I thought this movie was horseshit.
And the second one's even worse.
Yeah, when you can see, it rips off like a motherfucker, too. I mean, both of the films rip off, too, and that's the thing. They keep talking about how unique and new this one is. I'm just like, get the fuck out of here, man. Shit. I ain't the biggest horror fanatic or anything like that, but I've seen a lot of fucking horror films and know that this movie's been ripped off about three horror films all in this one film, so get out of here with that fucking... It's new and creative, new shit and stuff like that. And so I'm just like, my God, man.
It's all it is. It's what? Hour and 45 minute jump scare.
When you can sit up there and defend a damn demon, Darth Maul doing the ghetto hokey pokey, then I know that we don't really have much to talk about movies no more.
That movie, we'll talk about that soon.
Okay, what is your number four then?
Four is Blair Witch. Blair Witch Project.
Okay. Only number four. Okay.
When I get to 3, 2, and 1, you're gonna know. This created the found footage genre.
Unfortunately, yeah.
This was an hour and a half of absolutely nothing. Really was. We discussed that, I think, in great lengths in the show.
Yeah, it's fucking nothing. Just dry ass nothing.
No, we get the great line. This is America. Who gets lost?
You know, the most baffling thing we said about this movie to an interview was people actually like this movie.
Yes, we discussed that too. I think when we posted it, Kayla said she loved the movie, and I'm like,
no. Oh God, yeah, that's right.
She liked Annabelle too.
What's wrong with you people that like this movie? It's like he just said, there's not a goddamn thing that's going on in the film. It's nothing. This movie offers nothing.
You get what?
At least it could be. At least if you're going to take the hard part away of it, then make it a good drama between these characters. But these characters are so fucking annoying that they offer nothing to the film. So you're just like, I don't even give a shit about them. I want them to die.
Actually, you do. You do.
Oh, look, some rocks just got done moving by my tent. It's like, well, whatever. Little ass rocks, okay. Like, if we went camping seeing some little rocks made by your tent, would you be freaking out by that shit?
No, I would just think there's a little fucking kid playing around the fucking campsite.
Thank you. You'd probably be like, P1's fucking with me, isn't he? Or you'd be like, goddamn squirrels or some shit like that. That'd be my mind. Goddamn squirrel been moving some fucking rock or something like that. Some wolf that came by. Whatever. The first thing that ain't gonna come to my head is like, there's a goddamn ghost out there. Or something out there. I'm just like, okay, alright. So you need to do something impressive, like putting boulders next to each other, something like that. Like, who would be impressed or scared by just like some 5 little rocks standing next to each other? It's just like, what in the hell?
And
I would have took each one of them rocks and threw that shit in a different corner and been like, trying to knock that fucking ghost upside his head. And then that bullshit ass ending.
Him standing in the corner, you know, obviously Josh, the other guy, it's completely freaking missing in this house. This house ain't that big. It's kind of like The Purge. We fucking talked about The Purge. How the fucking daughter vanishes in this house.
Oh yeah, that was one of the most annoying things of The Purge.
And Blair Witch, this house is smaller. And it's fucking, there's like 2 rooms in a basement. And this guy gets lost. How do you get lost?
Okay, why would y'all split up? Number one, number two, you hear noises. Why don't you just leave the motherfucker? Number three, we go back upstairs or downstairs, or wherever the fuck you were. We see a dude jerking off in the corner, and then you just turn around, then the camera just falls, and you hear a loud noise. You just go like.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said in the review, whatever. Yeah, you take a blind man to see this movie. Yeah, he'd be fucking pissed.
The only thing good about this movie, which I said in the review, was the marketing campaign was done beautifully.
Yeah, marketing behind it. Marketing was. Had this movie came out today, marketing would have sucked because we'd have been like.
That's probably why the marketing was so good. They knew the movie sucked. They're like, this movie sucks. We gotta. We gotta fucking steal. We gotta steal people's money here. We gotta do something crazy. Nah,
the marketing was so good because it came out in the time frame when this shit wasn't happening. Where we didn't have the internet as much as in. We didn't have any of that stuff. Whatever. But it's like that Exorcist syndrome. The marketing was good on that because it came out with shit that we've never seen before and based on some real true story bullshit. Whatever. Had this fucking film got marketed the way it did back in the 90s, like it did now in 2014, people would have looked at this and laughed.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's on the same level as Annabelle, Insidious, Sinister. It's on the same level, but at least it knows you see something.
Yeah, it's a product of its time, whatever. Shit. You know what? You say you see something, Annabelle. I didn't see a goddamn thing, so I don't know. Most of these movies nowadays, they're following this Blair Witch formula that, like, you can easily say that, like, Blair Witch, one of the worst fucking movies of all time. Definitely on my top 10 list of all worst time movies. Mm-hmm. But you can't deny that Blair Witch really did change the genre. Because, my God, so many films today follow this fucking genre of showing nothing. I mean, fucking Paranormal Activity got a whole damn series of it.
That's why they're so cheaply made and they make a success because people freaking they love. I think they love the cheap scares.
Like, I don't. Why?
Like, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Why? Like, I grew up in the 80s. We didn't have cheap scares. We had fucking blood and guts, and we had gore beyond belief. 90s...
But why are people settling for something? Why are people cheating themselves, though, out of something that can be good? And I don't... And once again, I ain't gonna blame Hollywood for this. I blame, once again, the people, because people gonna keep going out paying for to go see this shit and making it a $3 million film, $100 million in 1 week and shit like that. So you know they Hollywood is going to keep fucking making it because it's a formula that's been working for many a fucking years now. And yet people keep diminishing themselves to doing it and stuff. And I'm just like, why do you fucking keep doing this? Like, stop fucking seeing this and go out. Like, someone was telling me that, like, fucking Ouija was the scariest thing they fucking saw this year. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. You got to be fucking kidding me.
I watched 10, I could have finished 10 minutes past that movie. I was so bored. I'm like, this is terrible. I'm turning off.
Ouija didn't make any damn sense, too, by the time it got to the end. It didn't make any fucking sense whatsoever. And that stupid ass twist they tried to have in it. Man, fuck that movie, dude. Oh, my God. And then As Above, So Below, another one. They go to hell. And I don't mean that literally. They go to actual hell. And you don't see shit. You don't see demons. You don't see the devil. You don't see shit. How the fuck do you have a horror movie where you actually go to hell? Which, mind you, all 80s films said that, hey, I'm going to send you to hell, you came from hell, whatever. Hell is a particular place with the horror movies in the 80s and shit like that. But they actually made a film, see, in 2014, where the fucking characters go to hell and nothing happens. Like, that was the biggest fucking what-the-fuck moment I've ever had in a horror film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this Blair Witch started the trend. And
Blair Witch 5.
It started it.
And it's still continuing to go. You know why? Z brings up a great point all the time. Paranormal Activity, the Marked Ones. That movie made number one first week and then was gone out of the top five the very fucking next week and yet still made his fucking money back because it was so fucking cheap.
Well, a lot of the movies, Annabelle, they all do a good first week run and then they have like a... like 60% loss or 60% drop the next week. It's because the marketing's for the movie.
And the problem with that is, in that first fucking week, they make double their fucking profit back, though.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Ouija, it made $43 million on this open weekend. That movie cost $3 million.
I think that was number two for 2 weeks, wasn't it? Or number one for two weeks.
It was number one, and then it dropped, but it still fucking made $43 million its opening week, and it only cost $43 million. And I was like, Jesus Christ! Ouija 2, The Board Begins, coming to a theater near you.
Yep, and that pushes out fucking Rush sequels. That just it diminishes the horror genre that I grew up on and I absolutely love.
Oh, man, and then the biggest thing I told them, when they fucked up Texas Chainsaw, man, that was, wow, that was like...
You know what?
People like Trace, they get people like Trey Songz, you know they don't give a fuck no more. They don't give a fuck.
And you know what? We're getting, I don't know if it comes out next year, but the found footage Friday the 13th.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's going to be coming out soon. That's already, I think, in production. So we're going to be getting that, and so thank you, Blair Witch, for the found footage. I mean, yes, you work in certain aspects, like in The Watch, we've said that many times, but it's just, it's cheapening the horror. That's all it is.
Another thing is, problem with that too, is that found footage is to make things look real. Horror is fake, okay? Stop putting it in fucking found footage because none of that shit looks real. It's 2014. We all know this shit ain't real. So the fact that you're trying to make it look real from a cinematography standpoint, it just cheapens the effects of like, okay, now I know this is some bullshit.
Stop
insulting my fucking intelligence by opening up every goddamn movie talking about these whereabouts may have happened and they are undiscovered as this moment as we speak. But let's start from the beginning. It's like, oh my fucking God. When a movie does that nowadays, I automatically roll my eyes and go like, I smell a fuck it.
And when it's... Has there any movie that started that way that you obviously, you had fuck it on your mind right after that? Has anything ever went, like, improved on that you've seen?
No.
No?
I think the one time I didn't think that was when The Devil Inside came out. And that was only because I was excited to see that movie because everybody was hyping about it. And then we all know how that worked out. That motherfucker ended it with a goddamn website. I was like, wow, okay, damn.
Have you gone to that website?
That had to be the most insulting thing I've ever seen in any movie, period.
Have you gone to that site?
Oh, yeah, I went to that website right after when I went to the barbershop, right after the theaters, and I was like, they were selling goddamn merchandise from the fucking movie on that site.
That's obviously probably one of the worst movies ever made. Just because of that.
That is bigger insult than any bad Batman film or any insult. That was some straight up bullshit. I mean, the only great thing about that, too, was the fucking audience reaction when they almost fucking rioted and asked for their damn money back.
I really wish I went opening weekend to see that movie. Because when I heard that, I think I listened to, it was you and Lena did that review. I heard it, and I'm like, fuck, I missed it. You know, I would love to have gone to see, just to see. I mean, yeah, it looks okay from a trailer standpoint. But goddamn, I would have been pissed. I really would have. Like, you're ending it with a website? I mean, like, that's taking social media too far.
Fucking movie just went black, and you're just like, okay, what happened? And then it says, for more info, visit www.fuckyou.com. I was like, wow!
that's pretty much hit it right there.
That is some straight balls for your ass to, like, sell that shit through I've never seen nothing done like that in a film. I've never seen nothing done like that. That is film history right there, what that movie did. Like, easily one of the biggest fuck yous in film history ever was that movie.
Yeah.
But, my number four is, United 93. And we already talked about that, so. What's your number three, Z?
What did I guess that was on? About six?
You said it was number four, so you were right.
I know.
Right.
OMGZ. My number three is Insidious. It had an interesting concept, but they failed it with Darth Maul.
And they failed it with the goddamn movie.
And I think the reason why I hate this movie so much is the fact that you brought the point up that they credited it as the scariest movie of all time. And with Exorcist, Omen, Bird, stuff like that, scary shit like that, you are really putting yourself up there on a pedestal. And this movie beats you in the fucking face with that pedestal because it fucking lies to you. The second one's obviously worse.
I remember I went to go see this movie because I remember two critics gave it the highest reviews I've ever seen for a film. I was like, well, if they gave it to, I was like, it probably lives up to it then. And I remember everybody, it was a crowded theater, wanted to go see a date. I went on a date and shit. And when they brought in that fucking, the fake-ass Ghostbusters, I was like, this movie's a joke. I had to go back and read those reviews that I read, and I was just like, no, they were being funny in those reviews. They were just, like, setting people up. And I was like, they're being goddamn serious. They were being fucking serious. And then when I started talking to more people telling me how much they were scared, I was just like, okay, so people ain't fucking with me. This is their really feelings. They really felt scared by that. I'm just like, wow, people are morons.
Oh, I'm with you. And I think this was the first movie that started doing that preview green shit. That were in the theaters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I think Paranormal was.
Was it Paranormal?
A long time.
Okay.
Yeah. Where they're fucking paying the audience with movie tickets and be like, act like you're scared, you know? It's like, man, go fuck off. Fuck you.
This movie's not scared. And Rose Byrne and Patrick Wilson, completely wasted. You got the kid from Iron Man 3. This was just a horrible movie, and we got a third one coming out next year.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that. Oh, God. Like, the second one wasn't bad enough. They had to fucking, okay, whatever.
The second one was 100% stupid.
Like, that just brought up, like, the second one brought up every point I had about the first one. It just came to fruition in this one.
I just watched it just to watch it, just to see it. That's the only reason why I was not interested. I knew I was going to hate it. I just watched it. And I was like,
this is... I can't remember the last time I saw a movie rip off The Shining.
Exactly. That was pretty much Shining 2.0.
That was fucking horrible, too. My number three film is The Human Centipede.
Let's not talk about this movie. Oh, God, this movie. Let's not talk about this movie. I want to forget this movie.
Man. Oh, my God, dude. I've never seen a movie where I just scratched my head and said, why was this made?
This is...
Who had... Once again, like I said in the review, I have to ask the question again. In whose right mind could they think about an idea like this and be like, that would look great on fucking film. I need to fucking make a movie out of this somehow. It's like... I don't... Like, can you just imagine, like, everybody that works at a desk or something like that just writing the script out for this shit? Like, seriously, you gotta be a sick motherfucker to write about some shit like that. And the thing about it is, it's not like... Like, I remember when I was watching it, I wasn't, like grossed out or nothing like that. I was just fascinated as to, like, how a filmmaker could sit up there and think that they would make this and it would get any kind of praise or something like that.
Oh, I'm with you. This, that the one scene, we know what scene I'm going to say, that I had to turn my head because I couldn't watch that.
Oh, yeah.
This was, scene, yeah.
Didn't talk about in the review.
This was just like a German porn movie. That's all it was.
Yeah. It was nothing but porn or whatever, but whatever. What would be your number two film, Z?
My number two is Hellraiser Revelations. This is like the shortest movie we've ever done.
That was a great film.
This movie is seriously like 67 minutes. It's so short. I think we talked about the movie more than the movie, how long the movie was. This movie seriously took a shit on Pinhead's character. And not only took a shit, they took a shit in his mouth. They did Human Centipede in this fucking character. That's like doing what Freddy or Jason. That's, yeah. You know what I mean? You don't do that to
Hellraiser. I don't even recall seeing Pinhead.
He was in it fucking 5 minutes.
I don't even remember seeing Pinhead except the last
minute. You're about right. What you think the first part of the movie is that it's a found footage movie. Because it starts off that way. And then it pretty much throws that out the window. Then you get this whole family thing. This movie is just a joke.
Yeah. For an hour and 10 minutes, too, at that.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, my number two film is, and we just talked about it actually, was The Blair Witch Project. I think this is one of the worst fucking movies ever made just for the simple fact that not a goddamn thing happened. I've never seen a movie that had balls like The Blair Witch Project to have some shit. I'm telling you this once again, you take a blind man in this movie and describe it, just a bunch of kids walking, they're walking, camera goes down, movie just ended, people are walking out looking pissed now. That's the best goddamn description you can get. Like, it's easy to fucking review that movie, too, just based on that synopsis right there. Kids get lost in the fucking woods. They must have ate some mushrooms that was under the latest version, and then they just started hallucinating some shit that was happening. The end.
I think you just wrote a movie.
Yeah, I think I just spoiled the fucking movie for people that ain't seen it, but whatever, shit. See? Your number one film now.
My number one movie is our Halloween choice was Halloween 2.
Oh! You love that movie you talking about.
No, I didn't. This is... I don't even know how to fucking phrase this.
You gave it to see it.
No, I did not say it, see it. You said it before. Everything besides Halloween, the original, is terrible because Michael Myers doesn't do shit. Rob Zombie
yeah.
kind of gave him some fucked up story that the mom is controlling him with a white horse. Controlling him and making killing all these people. Like, I feel bad for Danielle Harris being in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. We just got done talking about how they took a simple story with Max Payne and turned that shit into some outlandish shit. But Rob Zombie took Michael Myers and blew him to a whole nother goddamn level of what we knew.
And not only that, like, the first part of the movie, I think we both said, was good. Where he's in the hospital and all that shit. Then it was all a dream, and then
the dream shit?
Yeah. And then we go to, and then, like, the lead character, fucking Jamie Strode, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis's character, Laurie Strode, sorry. You hate her. You don't like anyone in this movie. It's like Danielle Harris was a slut in the first one. Laurie was the good girl. Then the main girl, Laurie, in the second one's a fucking dumbass slut. Danielle's the good one. And I've seen other Rob Zombie movies. Devil's Rejects, fucking amazing. Fucking Lords of Salem, terrible. So what were you saying?
I was saying Lords of Salem fucking sucked, so...
Yeah.
I think Rob Zombie's a good visual director, though, but...
He is. He's a storyteller.
My God, man. That dude got his head up his ass and something.
And he needs to stop casting his wife in these movies.
Yeah, because the bitch serves no fucking purpose in this movie.
No, Devil's Rejects, she was good. Halloween movies, first one, she was just there. You know, she was just a mom, that's it. This one, she's a fucking angel.
Or a demon or something. I don't know what the fuck she
is. You don't... That's why you don't know. She's carrying around this horse. Michael Myers is... like,
what's the fucking deal with the horse, dude?
There's a lot of questions in this movie. This is...
Hey, Michael. Give me some peanut butter. I need a carrot to go with that, Michael. That bitch was talking about you, Michael, yesterday. Kill them all. Kill them all, Michael.
And it all starts off with, oh, Michael Myers has been living in this shack. And he doesn't go... Because in John Carpenter's, he kills anyone. You know, anyone that's in his way. He'll kill him. This one, it doesn't start until he gets his ass kicked.
This one doesn't start because he's a fucking bum for almost an hour of the film.
Yeah.
He's just roaming the fucking streets and the cornfields, just looking up into the sky and shit. He's having Man of Steel moments and shit.
His dad dies in a tornado.
Dad died in a tornado and shit, and he had to go reflect about it, so he started working previous jobs and shit like that. That's the movie I want to see. The in-between, what happened between the first and second one, where Michael was working in corn factories and shit like that until he just quit and decided to get that badass hoodie and just walk around. What is up with the fucking hoodie too, by the way, Rob Zombie?
He does it a lot in his movies.
The motherfucker don't put the mask on until the last 30 goddamn minutes of the fucking film, and then for the fucking hour and a half almost, he's walking around in a damn hoodie just looking up into the sky this fucking cornfield he's in.
And this is like the lone slasher movie that you don't root for anyone to live. I mean, besides Danielle Harris, who I am a huge fan of, I like her, but she's not a main character and you know she's going to die. Everyone else, you're kind of like, Loomis, die, just die. You're a fucking douchebag now. Lori, fucking, you're a bitch, die. You know, you want everyone to fucking die in this movie.
You want Michael, you want everybody to die, and you want Michael to find a washer and dryer to wash that badass hoodie, and then just keep walking the streets in a new clean hoodie to start all over again.
Carrot walking that horse.
Oh yeah, with a carrot feeding that horse. And then he snaps his fucking neck.
I would love to see that. But Rob, this was absolutely, this is seriously on par with, like, actually it's on par with every fucking Halloween movie, but it just adds more. He just added something that was stupid.
I would say that this one's the funniest just because of how confusing it was.
It's confusing, alright. How do you throw, this is what, the 10th movie of the Halloween franchise? Yeah. And you throw in his mom's fucking talking to him? That's Jason Voorhees. That's Jason Voorhees shit.
That wasn't his mom that was talking to him. It was the horse. He was talking through the mother to talk to him.
Oh, was it? So Rob Zombie's got a fetish for horses?
Yeah, apparently, whatever. Hey, everybody's got to have a fetish. Tarantino got a fetish for feet. Rob Zombie got a fetish for horses and white bitches next to him.
Which is his wife, who doesn't get naked again.
Oh, and then the ending, too, where Lori's in the house, you're just like, what in the fuck? Okay, is this some, they just pulled some Texas Chainsaw shit where now, like, she's gonna become the new killer or something? Like, she's hella serious. Like, what in the fuck? I got so lost in that ending, I was just like, man, I've never been so confused in a horror film like I have right now.
This is kind of like, you remember the Friday 13th of Corey Feldman?
Yes, sir.
I think it was part 4, where he, like, looks in the camera at the end.
Yeah.
I think this is Rob Zombie trying to make a Friday 13th movie.
I think this is Rob Zombie saying, fuck you.
I think it was. The studio, which I can't remember, I think it was Lionsgate that made this. It's like a Lionsgate movie.
Could have been. I'm not too sure on that.
They probably paid him a shitload of money because his first one was successful. And he says, I'm just going to take the money and write the fucking, direct the worst movie ever made, you know?
I'd have loved to seen his third one.
Oh, he's not doing that. Thank God.
I would have fucking loved to seen that. But anyway, my number one film is... This is one of the worst fucking films I've ever seen, personally. That's Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Wow.
I have never seen a more insulting comic book film than this goddamn film right here. This is literally one of the worst fucking films I've ever seen this year. It's one of the worst fucking superhero films I've seen. And without a doubt, one of the worst fucking Marvel films I have ever... It's one of the worst adaptations I've ever fucking seen. The object where you fuck up three villains, major villains at that, you fuck up three major villains in one big movie. You actually mean to tell me there's a studio that owns the property of Doctor Doom and Galactus, Eater of Worlds, Destroyer of People, and he is a fucking cloud. I have never wanted to get up and walk out of a fucking theater. And you mean tell me, at the end of the fucking movie, Silver Surfer, he can just blow up Galactus at the heart. Why the fuck he just didn't do that in the first place?
He was his bitch.
Action is fucking horrible. Acting itself as well. I've never seen such a bland cast of characters come together and shit. And they really tried to make this movie. Johnny Storm film. Fucking know why, but they just like pushing Chris Evans to be the star of this film because like, oh, he's the popular one out of all of the shit, so let's make it. I'm just like, you guys, Fox, once again, you missing the fucking point of a goddamn teen movie. It's like something about you guys and teen films, you just can't get the fucking message on it together. It definitely, for me, it is one of the most insulting films I've ever fucking seen, personally.
Do you think, because now, you know, rethinking it, like Jessica Alba, she looked bored. Do you think they were contractually obligated for this movie, and this is it, and they just pretty much didn't try because they had to do it?
Shit, they fucking sucked in the first one, shit.
Well, they were worse in this one.
So it ain't like, they were on the same fucking par, shit, if anything. It ain't like they was fucking good in the first one, so it ain't like, oh, we're just attracted to this. Like, get the fuck out of here. None of y'all was doing shit before this, so if anything, this was y'all biggest fucking project. Those projects, see, you brought up for them that they were working on, them wasn't shit compared to this. It wasn't a goddamn thing. Them crappy-ass TV shows that they were doing that don't nobody give a fuck about it, it's because it won't fucking end and shit. Ain't a damn thing going on with there. Fucking Chris Evans and shit, that nigga was just looking for anything. He was just taking whatever came his fucking way. So, if anything, this could have been a break for him and shit. And then he went and gone dead, this half-dead-ass fucking performance that he gave. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. I've never seen an insult like this. I haven't seen an insult like this since I saw the casting of X-Men.
I remember the casting, when they first did the casting for Fantastic Four, the outrage for Jessica Alba. Because she was the it girl at that time.
Yeah, the outrage, Jessica. How about the outrage for the whole fucking cast? Jesus Christ. My God, man. the biggest insult was Dr. Doom himself. That nigga was a background character in this fucking film. They didn't do a damn thing. And then they tried to play some bullshit thing. Oh, then when you introduce the Silver Surfer, you get into man, this was hitting shit before Guardians of the Galaxy was. And Fox dropped the ball on this shit like a motherfucker.
Yeah, you really, like, Silver Surfer was, it was supposed to be seen like it was going to be his movie when it's titled Rise of the Silver Surfer. And he didn't really have a point in the movie.
No, other than Galactus. And once again, they did nothing with Galactus, so what was the point of all this?
Yeah, you don't find out about Galactus till what? The end, like the last 40 minutes? Half hour?
Shit, that's being generous. I was going to say the last 15 minutes.
I was trying to think that, but the whole ending scene had it been like 15 minutes, but...
And then the fight scene with Dr. Doom was so fucking boring, and then the way they beat him, I was just like, wow, so you beat the biggest, baddest villain by knocking him upside the head with a crane into the water, okay.
Yeah, and he's obviously still alive because they fucking did that shit again, just like the first one.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Ah, fuck that movie.
Is that like on your par of worst superhero movies ever?
No, that is the worst superhero movie ever. That is the worst superhero movie ever. I've never seen something so fucking insulting like that. That was the worst superhero film ever. Bar none. I don't think anything could top that. Oh, wait. Dawn of Justice come out 2 years from now. Wait, I'll just have to wait and see, you know.
Maybe Galactus will be somehow mysteriously in this one.
Oh, fuck me, man.
Lex Luthor partnered with Galactus.
They'll turn Darkseid into a lightning bolt. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, God.
Hey, we don't have the budget to make a real-life Galactus, so let's just turn that nigga into a cloud. And why the fuck would you make him, then, if you ain't got the fucking budget? You know you damn well you had the budget to make that. Get the fuck out of here with that.
They're gonna get a fog machine. That's Galactus!
Oh, my God. Oh, and that's a damn shame, too. The people that don't know what fucking Galactus is, people just going like, so he's a cloud that just covers the Earth? So this is The Happening with Mark Wahlberg, is what you're telling me.
Close to it, with superheroes.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Well, people, we've been going on for 3 hours, and I know you loved every moment of it. You just wondering what was the worst and best films of Throwback Tuesday, in our opinions.
We were pretty close.
Yeah, actually, we had a lot of similarities on there.
Yeah, a lot.
I'm glad our number ones were different.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have Halloween on yours.
No, I found that movie to be funny. That's why. Laugh so much in the movie than I did in that movie. That movie's fucking hilarious. That's gold, man. That is fucking gold. I think I might buy that movie now just for laughs.
Don't support Rob Zombie.
I could probably get that shit for $2.99 in a bargain bin somewhere. Well, people, that is end of 2014, Z. That's it. We're done, man. We're done with 2014.
I know.
Done. Done deal.
Our hands are wiped clean in 2014.
We're done with this shit now. This pieces of shit that we had to see, people. But that was the best and worst 2014 of Throwback Tuesday. I'm the phenomenal one.
This is Z.
And we will catch you people in 2015. I can't wait. Later, bastards.
Later.
Statue of us and put it on a mountaintop. Now tourists come and stare at us, blow bubbles with their gum, take photographs of fun, have fun.